Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Career changers, including veterans and active duty service members. Your transition starts here. Go from GI to IT in a matter of months. Become a certified cyber warrior with training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, offering IT pros great opportunities and a rewarding lifestyle while protecting our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. Deploy your career in IT today at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP, an elite CompTIA certification partner.
VA education benefits are available to those who qualify.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. It's the David Knight Show.
As the clock strikes 13, it's Monday, the 15th of December, year of our Lord 2025. Well, better late than never, but we finally made it on the air here. We've got today we're going to be looking at the tragic terror attack in Australia. And I think the alternative media is missing something that is very, very important in this story that applies to all of us here. We're also going to take a look at the Pirates of the Caribbean. They keep pirating. Not just limited to the Caribbean. They are everywhere. We're going to look at the worldwide footprint of our kleptocracy here in America. And pharma is pushing panic-demics again. This time, I mean, they're still pushing the COVID jabs, especially in the UK, but they're now pushing a measles narrative because this whole COVID thing has been so damaging to the vaccine industry. We have questions as to whether or not has Liam Neeson joined our side? There's a new documentary with that. There's also a new documentary about how Native Americans are Native Canadians, I should say, are stealing the land in Canada. This is something we've already seen some of it happening in the U.S. as well. And finally, we're going to have UFOs and the paranormal. And this is not even a late night show. We'll be right back. Well, welcome. Today we're going to begin with the tragic shooting that happened over the weekend. The death toll last I saw was 16, although they said a lot of people have been critically injured. It is an act of terrorism, an act of Islamic terror against Jews there in Australia. But I think there's something else that is there that's being missed in all of this and overlooked even by the conservative media. And that is the gun issue. One of the reasons that Australia has such strict gun laws is because they had a massive shooting back in 1996. And within just a short period of time, just 12 days after the Port Arthur shooting, where 35 people were killed, one person who had guns and everybody else was unarmed. So then the Australian Prime Minister John Howard pushed very, very quickly to get massive gun confiscation. And, of course, they had more than 600,000 weapons handed in. You've seen the pictures of them crushing them with bulldozers and that type of thing. By 2009, there were 0.1 gun murders per 100,000 people in Australia, compared to 3.2 per 100,000 in the U.S. Do you think there might be other differences between Australia and the U.S. other than gun laws? That is a false narrative. And the other thing that we're going to see as well, when we talk about the panic being pushed by measles, you always see by the gun control people and by the pharmaceutical people. They always love to show you their charts that say, look, after we did such and such, things have gone down. Well, you can correlate that with a lot of different things. You know, for measles, for example, you can correlate the decline in the cases of measles to the increase in the use of cereal. How nutritious and good for you, right? You can correlate. That's junk science, folks. Correlation does not mean causation. And in both of these cases, both with measles as well as with firearm deaths in Australia, they were already on a significant downward trend. And so one mass shooting does not violate that. And, of course, they haven't had a mass shooting for 29 years, but now they have. So, obviously, the gun control laws don't stop mass shootings. They haven't had as many as they did before. But there is a lot of argument, even within Australia, as to whether or not these gun laws have really made anybody safer. I would say the problem is that what you see in Australia, and we'll talk about it in detail, but here's the bottom line, spoiler alert. The police did nothing. They stood around. They've got a monopoly on firearms, and they did nothing but stand around. A guy who was not armed, disarmed the shooter, snuck up on him, attacked him, and took the gun away from him. And he was shot by the other shooter that was there, that the police were not attacking. And so, he didn't use the gun to defend himself, which is a perfect metaphor for a passive population. And the other thing about it was, yes, this was an act of Islamic terrorism, but the guy who disarmed him and charged him without having any guns and was shot for his trouble twice, he was a Muslim. So things don't break down into this simple, well, we got to get rid of all the Muslims and all the rest. Yes, we do need to vet people. Yes, we do have too many people coming in, and we have set fires all over the Middle East. It's no wonder that they hate us. Of course, they hate us because of religious issues, these radical extremists. They would hate us even if we hadn't gone in and killed civilians in other countries, but that just adds to the determination and the hatred. And so there's a lot more here than just, look at Muslims doing it again, you know. That is a factor. And we need to not be stupid and let our guard down. As a matter of fact, the problem is that we have governments everywhere, including the American government, including the first Trump administration, that doesn't protect the borders and doesn't vet the people who are here. Remember the Afghan guy who was brought in and killed those two National Guard units in Washington, brought in after we lost the Afghanistan war? It wasn't because of Biden's pullout. Yeah, Biden is responsible because he could have ended the war instead of having the other side end the war against you. He could have had an organized retreat, but no, they're going to have a rout. And Trump is also responsible because he'd promised to end it, and he never did. But when you look at these causes, it's a lot more complicated. Certainly need to control immigration. There's no question about that. And there's no question that they need to do a better job of vetting. It was the Trump administration, by the way, that gave this guy, they vetted this guy this year, the one who flew from Washington State to Washington, D.C. to kill two National Guard members. And so there's a lot of blame to go around, but all the blame is typically put on guns or put on anti-Semitism. And let me say this about the anti-Semitism issue as well. I've made it clear that I believe that the Israeli government and Netanyahu are criminal in what they're doing. However, that doesn't mean that all Jews are involved in this. And that is one of the worst aspects of anti-Semitism. And it's pushed by a lot of Christians like Huckster Huckabee. You know, he's pushing this idea of all Jews collectively, we're going to treat everybody as the same, this one stereotypical thing. When I've played for you clips of people in New York City, of course, the Orthodox Jews have opposed the state of Israel for many reasons for a very long time. They believe that God has given them the land. But they believe that God will give them what God wants to give them. He'll do it miraculously if necessary. They don't support the idea that you got to violate God's commandments, and you got to violate morality and the rule of law in order to get what you think God has promised you. The problem is we've got Christian Zionists who take exactly the opposite approach. The Orthodox Jews are right on that issue, and the Christian Zionists are wrong. But I also played for you a clip of the New York elections, and you had both an Orthodox Jew rabbi as well as an individual guy who was Jewish and said, yeah, I voted for Mom Danny. He said, I'm against what Israel is doing in Gaza, and this is my protest vote. Well, good luck with that. I think Mom Danny is going to be a disaster. But they've had socialist and communist mayors before. For many people, it all turned on who was going to kowtow to Israel, and everybody else in that first debate kowtowed to Israel. And I think that was the key issue that put him in. So there's a tremendous amount of anger worldwide for what Benjamin Netanyahu and the Israeli government is doing, and I think rightfully so. I think it is absolutely criminal for Christians, it's a reproach to Christ, to embrace and to excuse that. And I think it is the worst kind of racism and anti-Semitism for some huckster like Huckabee to pull everybody together in one group. As a matter of fact, that's what the Orthodox rabbi said. He said, we don't want to be grouped with those people. And I don't want to be grouped as an American with the American government that is out there operating as pirates and assassins and thieves everywhere. I don't support this government at all. This has nothing to do with the founding of this country. Has nothing to do with the Constitution. They're illegal, immoral, and they get worse every day. And I don't support the American government at all, in anything, in any regard. So don't, if I go to another, well, I won't be going to another country because of the American government and because of the TSA. If I were to go to another country, don't make any assumptions about me supporting the American government simply because I'm an American. Because I'm an American, I detest the American government. And there are Jews like that as well. And so that's, I think, the ultimate anti-Semitism is to just lump everybody together with this secular, anti-Christian Israeli government. And this is really what leads to anti-Semitism.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going. Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need. Critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel. All in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spend it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
So, as a matter of fact, when you look at the disarming aspect of this, can we trust the government to protect us if we give them a monopoly on firearms? Well, this is what a witness to the shooting said.
Can you tell me what happened?
Well, there was two shooters, one on the bridge, one under the bridge, just started to shoot for 20 minutes. They shoot, change the magazine and just shoot. Simple as that. 20 minutes with four policemen there, nobody gave fire back. Nothing, like they are froze. Like for, it looked like 20 minutes, like, and they shoot, the guy change magazine. I look at him all the time. I was two of my babies under me, and I look at that, and he's just rifle and a pistol, and just shoot. And the other one was under, they start to come close to the audience. One of the people come, took his rifle and shoot him. That's one of them. That's what I saw. I didn't know how much I saw, but...
Who were they targeting?
Oh, all the crowd. Anyone. Jewish. Just shoot. Doesn't matter who. Men, all, kids, everyone. Was no...
Did they say anything?
Couldn't hear, like the shooting was so loud, we couldn't hear. They say I was too far. Like he was on the bridge, I was near the tent. So, but I saw. I look at him. I look what he shot. I look at his rifle. He aimed. He did. He really like take his time. He should take his time. And four policemen there didn't give fire back. I don't understand why. Why?
What was going through your mind?
Nothing. Like. I'm Israeli, like I'm familiar with this situation, but like it's terrible in the middle of Bondi. It's terrible, terrible.
What was tonight supposed to be about?
Hanukkah events, Jewish Hanukkah events. Like we do it every year, Sunday, first day of Hanukkah, we do it here.
All right, so you heard what he had to say. For about 20 minutes, the police froze. I got to say, this whole idea that police is going to protect you, I learned that lesson the hard way. Fortunately, none of us were hurt, but we could have been. And I've told this story before. I'll try to give you the condensed version of this. We had a chain of video stores, but we didn't open up as a chain of video stores. We began with one store that was 1,400 square feet. And we opened that in January of 87. And we don't usually have snow. We didn't have snow in Raleigh-Durham area, but that particular January, we did have a snowstorm. And Karen and I were the ones operating the store at the very beginning. It was a very small operation. And we built it up to where we had six stores that were about 6,000 square feet each. But at that very beginning, we had one that was 1,500 square feet. And so we were doing the store. I think we had maybe one other employee at the time. And... I was still working at Data General in Research Triangle Park, and it started snowing, and so it's like everybody starts going home, going to the video store, actually. And so I headed to the video store to see if I could give Karen a hand, and it was crazy, and it was just like everybody everywhere was there getting movies. We used to always say there's no business like snow business. They would always make it to the grocery store to get milk, and then get to the video store and get a video. But the grocery store wasn't even open. We were the only store that was open in the strip center because we were anxious to get started. And so we were there alone, and some robbers went through, burglars, I guess, more accurately, got into one of the vacant bays and started going through the sheetrock bay by bay. We didn't know that. There was the snow was so bad, we couldn't, after the crowd stopped coming in the video store, we couldn't go home. It was too deep for us to drive our sports cars in it. And so all of a sudden, everybody just stops coming in. It's like, oh, okay, so let's close everything up and go. We can go out there, and we can't go anywhere. As a matter of fact, the grocery store, which had not opened yet, was being stocked, and there was an 18-wheeler that couldn't get out of the parking lot. There was a little bit of an incline right in front of our store, and he couldn't make it up there because it was stuck. So he was in the truck, and he was going to sleep there overnight. And so I went out, and I said, you know, we've still got electricity and heat if you want to sleep on the floor in here if it's more comfortable for you. So he came in, and it was a few hours later, we hear this banging, and it woke all three of us up. And I walked over to where I heard the banging. I thought it was really strange. And at that point, what they were coming through the sheetrock with, they had picked up a, some conduit, electrical conduit pipe, and were using that as a weapon. Just kind of improvising, I guess. And when I walked over to where the noise was coming from, all of a sudden, that comes right through the wall. in the horror section. I had a little bit of a hallucination there, what I imagined I saw, but I won't go into that. But anyway, the somebody's coming in here, so it's like, you know, he got something that was heavy, and he was going to hit the guys when they came through the door. And I said, no. We'll just call the police. The police are just a couple of blocks down, police station. So I said, they'll get here. And that was very naive. And so Karen is on the phone with the police, and I'm there watching what's going on, and I see these guys as they're starting to come in. So I go to the back, and all three of us are in the back, and we're looking through the door in the back room at the guys coming in. And they're going through the cash register and all this other kind of stuff. And still no police. And so I said, well, let's get out of here. And so we went out the back door, and we slammed it because it was new construction, and the back door was not shutting very reliably. So we slammed the door. These guys heard it and chased us, right? And they tried to get the door open, and they couldn't get it open. They left a footprint where they kicked the door trying to get it open, at the bottom of their foot right next to the door handle. And but on our side, as we're running out, finally the police have shown up, and they jump out of the car, and they pull their guns on Karen and the other guy as they're coming down, almost shot them. And Karen was barefooted, running through the snow. So they told all three of us to get in the car, and they're going to take care of it. Well, the two cops froze. We were freezing in the police car, but the two cops get over by the dumpsters with their guns drawn and wait for this person to come out of the door, and they can't get out the door. And but they would not go inside. They waited until the SWAT team from Cary, this small town, made it hours later. So we're sitting there all this time waiting for the SWAT team to come. It was a clown show, folks. I mean, we get in there, and the front door is still locked. So obviously they didn't come in through the front door. There's a big hole in the wall over here. And the thing that they used to break through it is on the floor. So where did the detectives go to take fingerprints? Did they take fingerprints off the thing they were holding to go through the door? No. They go to the front door, and I said, well, everybody in this area of town has been through that door. You're going to find plenty of fingerprints there, but none that you can really. And I said, besides, it's locked. They didn't go in or out that door. I said, this is what they were holding. Why don't you take fingerprints of that? Oh, we know that, you know, but we're going to take the door. They, even when you tell them, they won't do anything. It was just a pro forma thing that they were going through. They had no interest in investigating it. And they, it's basically a clown show. So after that, I got a four-wheel drive and I got a pistol. And, you know, we all learn our lessons in life. Experience is an expensive school, but it's the only one a fool will attend. And so I have attended that school. So the issue is that you've got these cops who just stand there. They don't do anything. Go back to the Parkland shooting. The Parkland shooting, they had a school police officer who did nothing. I think he went the other way or whatever. And I said at the time, we really do have to have teachers who are willing to learn how to handle the gun properly. We need to have armed teachers in the school. We call people heroes, like this guy who, without having any firearms himself, attacked this shooter and disarmed him. That's a hero, to risk your life to save other people. The police don't always do this. The police here didn't do that. And the police in Parkland shooting didn't do that. If you're in a classroom and somebody, a shooter comes in,
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going. Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spend it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
You engage that guy to try to stop him, you're not being a hero. You're trying to save your life. By the way, you may save the lives of the kids in the classroom as well, but you're trying to save your life as well. That's not heroic. We all would do that. Being heroic is risking your life to save other people, but your life is already at risk if you're a school teacher and there's a shooter coming in. So that's why I said it takes the heroics out of the equation. Then it becomes a situation of survival and training. For 20 minutes, they shoot, change magazines even, and just shoot. He said, I watched them changing out their magazines, and the police did nothing. There were four policemen there. Nobody gave any fire back, nothing, like they froze. I don't understand why. And that's the reality that will always happen, folks. It wasn't until a Good Samaritan, a local fruit seller, this is what everybody's identifying him at, but he's actually a Muslim. You know, again, just as it is wrong to group all Jews together with the Israeli government, it's wrong to group all Muslims together with terrorists. We understand the propensity of the groups and everything, but each and every person is an individual. They need to be vetted as such. So this guy, local fruit seller, so he's got a business as well. And a small independent businessman. He disarmed one of the terrorists. And at that point, the police appeared to return fire, taking out one of the shooters. I first saw this, I thought, were they the ones that shot the Good Samaritan? No, actually, it was a father-son terror team. And he disarmed the son. The father was still in an elevated position, and this guy doesn't know anything about guns. And he just sets it up against the tree after the guy's gone. He got shot by the father, who was in an elevated position. One of the suspected gunmen was killed at the scene, while the other was taken into custody in critical condition. So, again, I don't hold all Jews responsible for what's being done by the Israeli government. I'm not responsible for what's being done by the American government, the Pentagon, the CIA. I despise those people. We have to look at this as an individual basis. We don't need more migrants from the third world, period. And if they're going to come in, they need to be vetted. But our government they won't protect us if there's a violent issue. They just freeze. They do nothing. Again, we're hearing from the Australian police, this guy was known to them. They thought there was something suspicious about this family. They were on our watch list. Great. Well, who watches the watch list? And who watches the watchers when they've got all the firearms? And you are reduced to being an innocent bystander with everything. You're at the mercy of terrorists, of criminals, and you're at the mercy of your own government, the biggest gang of criminals. So again, we have to have discernment to set this apart, and I think that that's the real issue. What I see is the panic button, the tribal button, just being hit over and over again by the alternative media. Look, another Islamic terrorist Muslim, and it's like, yeah, I agree, and we don't want to have a situation like they have in Europe. And we will have that situation if we allow masses to come in. And if the government does a bad job of vetting them, I mean, I would just say, since the government can't vet these people, as we just saw with this Afghan terrorist, that was working with the CIA in Afghanistan. Since the government can't do its job vetting them, can we just not have people come to the U.S.? Can we just leave it at that? It's always the second generation that is the worst one anyway, because at that point they realize that, hey, we're not doing really well because we don't know the language, don't know the culture, and they blame it on the people that are there. And of course the schools are telling them that. Schools are telling them to hate the indigenous people. And I have to say, this is not, just like our schools, this immigration stuff is not really so much a failure. You know, we're talking about, why can't Johnny read? Well, Johnny can't read because the government wants to deliberately dumb him down. And the government has a different thing that they want Johnny to learn. That he's in the wrong body, for example. That he has to be subordinate to women. I mean, the Green Party in the UK, we're going to get to this later, is actually going to criminalize, as misogyny, any man correcting or disagreeing with a woman. How's that for matriarchy? I mean, that is matriarchy on steroids. So Johnny must learn to obey the government, to obey the women, to learn that he needs to be a woman to have any respect. This is the message of government. Government is not trying to educate children. So the schools are not failing. The schools are succeeding as an institute of propaganda for the government and of social manipulation and engineering. And so I believe that the immigration stuff is not a failure. I think it is absolutely what they wanted to do. Certainly you can see that with the Biden administration, but I think I can see it with the Trump administration as well. I think Trump is a Manchurian candidate for the globalist technocrats. And this is all a part of it. Police said one of the gunmen was on Australia's watch list, but he wasn't being watched. The deadliest shooting in Australia since April 1996 when they took all the guns. So now what are you going to do since that didn't work? So the latest I saw last night, 16 dead, 38 injured. A father and son terrorist attack. There you go. But the hero, let's talk a little bit about him. 43 years old, he wrestled the rifle from the terrorist, one terrorist. Many people said he saved many lives. And again, a hero who, unlike the police, this hero was unarmed. And as a matter of fact, I think we've got a picture of him here. Yeah, that's what he looks like. And here is the video of him stopping the shooters. So somebody just taking pictures of bodies laying on the ground. They're panning it around. Uh-oh, look at this guy. He's hiding behind a car. And then he runs up and then hits this guy who was just taking a shot. Hits him from behind. Wrestles the gun away from him. Points it at him. The guy was running up there to help him. There was another bystander who threw rocks or something at him. But he's pointing the gun at the guy. The guy doesn't know that the fruit seller has no idea how this thing works. But good for him. I mean, he's a real hero when you look at it. Here's a short version of it. It's a little bit closer, but you can see it. And so he was wounded after the other gunman on a nearby bridge shot him, wounds to his hand and to his shoulder. And so after this video is over, he just places the gun next to the tree and walks away. So again, heroic and a selfless act of bravery. Again, if you are armed, especially if you're a teacher in a classroom, somebody is attacking, it's not heroic to defend your life. Hopefully you've trained with it so that you know how to use it. That's the whole issue. It's the most unbelievable scene I've ever seen. A man walking up to a gunman who had fired on the community, single-handedly disarming him and putting his own life at risk to save the lives of countless other people, said the premier of New South Wales. And after that happened, two cops were also wounded, I'll just say. But they waited a very long time, 20 minutes. We always talk about police response time. I mean, even when you look at this shooting that happened with the trainee killer in Nashville at that Christian school, the police got there super fast. They got there in like, a minute or so, maybe less. And so police response was very rapid. And when they got there, they took the guy out. But before they got there, look at all of the children. This guy, it was a woman who thought she was a guy, Look at all the children. That woman looked in the face and shot them point blank because there was nobody in that school that was armed to defend themselves. The reality is that you can't get rid of guns. Australia wasn't able to get rid of guns. They're still there. And you need to be able, what they did was they got rid of individuals being able to protect themselves. That's what they got rid of.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
And so the when you look at France, the party is over in Paris. The police there are so afraid of Islamic terror attacks on New Year's Eve that they've canceled New Year's Eve. They said, we got videos that you can watch, and we'll make those available. And there will be fireworks, but don't go out and in person to see the fireworks. It's just too dangerous, and we can't protect you. See, that's another message. We saw this in Australia. They can't or won't protect people. And in Paris, they say, well, we can't protect you and we won't protect you, so stay home. And why is that? That's because of uncontrolled immigration and these radical Muslims that are there. The massive midnight concert that drew a jubilant crowd of 1 million people last year, with the festivities having drawn throngs to the most beautiful avenue in the world for 6 decades, has been scrapped and replaced with video to be viewed in the safety and comfort of French living rooms. The fireworks will still illuminate the Arch of Triumph when the clock strikes 12, but with officials urging revelers to watch on TV rather than in person, it'll be a far cry from the famed French parties of years past. The famed avenue has now become a flashpoint of violence lately, with throngs of young, mostly Muslim migrants streaming in from Paris's infamous suburbs at night, looking for trouble, looting luxury stores, brawling with Parisians and the police. So now, we were told there were no no-go zones. Remember that? They just said, oh, it's not happening. Well, now the police have just admitted that Paris, on New Year's Eve, is a no-go zone. After they told us that they didn't exist, now they're jumping in on it. The Paris police pressed the mayor to scrap the concert because of, quote, unpredictable crowd movements, unquote. This is the result of massive unvetted Muslim immigration into Europe, said Daniel DiMartino, an immigration fellow at the Manhattan Institute. He said, Western Europe has a terrorism problem for many years now, and that has been exacerbated because of unvetted Islamic immigration as a result of the refugee crisis of over a decade ago. We create wars which create refugees. We bring the people in like this Afghan killer. Biden brings him in. And Trump administration vets him and rubber stamps it. And then he commits terror. It is a bipartisan problem, folks. This is not something that's going to be solved by Trump. And it's not going to be solved by ice. Just take a look at what's going on in Minneapolis, Minnesota, little Mogadishu. It's been that way for a long time. And the massive corruption that goes throughout the Democrat Party in Minnesota, including Tim Walz. And they have, you would think that the Trump administration, if they're going to get tough on immigration, wouldn't those people be the first you would throw out, the people that have been involved in massive fraud? And don't tell me they didn't know. I reported on this when I was at InfoWars, and that was more than 5 years ago. They knew. It was happening during the first Trump administration. Everybody knew. How did they not know that this was going on? Now they're getting really tough with Somalis. They even arrested a guy who had gone through and been given citizenship and all the rest of the stuff. Said, you're profiling people because of their ethnicity and their skin color. True, they are. But the reality is that they haven't, they're doing that kind of stuff because they haven't vetted them in the first place. I mean, government just keeps adding one more problem to every time they fail, they double down and do more failures on top of it. And so it's very concerning to see what is happening there. And again, you would think that Trump would start with something like this Al-Shabaab mob that is there. The Trump administration, this was brought to light during the first Trump administration. This Trump administration has been conducting airstrikes and raids in Somalia, a lot of them. It doesn't get much coverage. Anti-war covers it, and I've got the numbers for you coming up. But at the same time, the U.S. government, planes that are there, are bombing civilian villages, which only creates more terrorism. And then they have a special forces group, secret group, right, which is a hallmark of the CIA. They've been trained by the CIA. They just went in and did a raid where they killed dozens of civilians and destroyed a village. That's what our response has typically been. And so you look at these problems, and they're real problems. And you look at the way that they're handled, and all these government actions are essentially like throwing gasoline on a fire. Every time the government gets involved in these trouble spots, that's what they do. They throw gasoline on the fire. Well, they're throwing gasoline on our cities now as well. And, of course, they're going to tell you that the only solution to all this is to have a digital ID. You got to take the global mark of the beast so we can track everybody and know everything about everyone instantaneously. You need to have biometric ID. And people are going to be, they're using this uncontrolled immigration, just like they use the Department of Education. They use it to push people in their direction. They use it to push people to accept what they are pushing on us. Very high terror threat. They cited groups like Al-Qaeda and ISIS. These are groups that, of course, we created and we funded with our government. The Mujahideen became Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda became ISIS. ISIS became al-Nusra. Al-Nusra became the government of Syria. We just had three Americans killed, three Americans wounded in Syria. Right after Trump brought that terrorist in and feted him at the Oval Office. Do you see what's happening here? This is professional wrestling at its finest. So, again, they've ordered beefed up police presence at Christmas markets to restrict vehicle access and mobilize intelligence agencies. As a matter of fact, there was a meme that was circulating, and it says Christmas market shows all of the vehicle barriers and everything that are there. And then it shows a Muslim mosque, and it's like, there's nothing at all there. It's like, so where's the threat coming from? Christmas markets are popular and symbolic gathering places likely to be targeted by violent, politically motivated attacks. They cited the 2018 Strasbourg Christmas market attack, where a 29-year-old French-Moroccan gangster jihadist, because that's their equivalent of narco-terrorist, again, to say that he's French-Moroccan, this is, they don't want to just say he's Moroccan, but he is. You know, he's not. He's French just because of being in a particular place. Opened fire as he yelled, Allahu Akbar, killing five people, wounding 11. Police shot him down after a two-day manhunt. Last year, we had more scares in 2 hours of New Year's Eve celebrations at the Champs-Élysées than we did in 3 weeks of the Olympic Games, said the police commissioner. These acts of violence are the product of a descent into savagery, said Interior Ministry. It is because you have brought the barbarians into the gate. There is no accountability for the people who let them in, and they're not getting them out. As a matter of fact, most of what Trump is doing with ICE doesn't need to be cheered. He is getting rid of due process, and it is such an over-the-top reaction to things that have happened. You look at all the people who, if they come in, they've broken the law, they need to be sent home. But there's a process for doing that, just like there's a process that they had under their unconstitutional drug war to interdict boats that are bringing drugs in the United States. These boats are not even bringing drugs in the United States in Venezuela that they're blowing up. So there is a process, a way that you can do things, even if you're doing something that is not really constitutionally your authority or whatever. And the Trump administration thugs have just blown all that stuff off. And they focus on people whose only crime has been to come here illegally, which is a misdemeanor. They don't need to be sent to some narco-terrorist prison in El Salvador. They don't need to be put into these concentration camps necessarily. It's one thing to put, if you got a lot of people, yeah, concentration camps, you might have to have that. But you need to make sure that you treat people humanely when they are there. And they've made sure that they don't do that. And you would also want to start with the criminal gangs like those in Minneapolis. But instead, they start with a lot of people who have done nothing other than disobey their immigration rules. And so the penalty ought to be fit the crime. This comes under excessive and cruel punishment, what the Trump administration is doing. And it is setting a very, very dangerous precedent for militarization and federalization of the police. Le Monde reported that France is dealing with a new generation of younger, less experienced, more unpredictable jihadists. Okay, so these are the young guys that are now the jihadists. Who are the experienced ones? They said the 6 thwarted attacks that they have stopped this year were plotted by terrorists who were between 17 and 22. 17 to 22? These are the more mature ones, I guess. Europe simply welcomed millions of people who were Muslim, who were not highly educated, who brought with them terrorist ideology, and they're willing to commit terrorist acts, and they have a culture that is incompatible with Christianity, said DiMartino of the Manhattan Institute. Some of them actually hate Christianity. That's why they target Christmas markets. Well, that's true as well. They're much less educated. They're much more Islamic. The children of these immigrants are not integrated into the rest of society. They are still living in ethnic enclaves. They don't have high employment rates, and there's actually much more likely to be out of a job, so they're much poorer. I've always said it is the second generation. But again, the mainstream media always identifies them. Oh, this guy's French. He's French. He's French because the migrant parents brought him in, and he was born in France, or whatever, but he's not French in any important way. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the piracy that is being done by our own government. So stay with us. We'll be right back, folks. Thank you.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
You're listening to The David Knight Show. Listening to The David Knight Show.
Or even take a photo on a phone, there is machine learning in the background.
Highest quality video capture ever in a smartphone.
In the metaverse, we're going to need AI that is built around helping people navigate virtual worlds as well as our physical world with augmented reality.
Augmented reality is a profound technology.
That includes like your position in 3D space, your body language, facial gestures.
We invented new intimate ways to connect and communicate directly from your wrist.
Everything from virtual reality to designing our own data centers.
Describing what's coming even, it's just so different and new. I've been in this infrastructure business for, you know, 3 decades.
No one has ever seen infrastructure.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Now, I expect that these trends will only increase in the future.
In the last few months, we launched voice and vision capabilities so that ChatGPT can now see, hear, and speak. Supports up to 128,000 tokens of context. That's 300 pages of a standard book.
That's all AI generated. Actually, let's add in some Alto Cumulus clouds. All right.
Break free of the technocratic nightmare this Christmas and go back to basics with a David Knight Show bookmark and notebook. This high-quality embossed metal bookmark with a full-color design on the back is guaranteed to be cross-compatible with all physical books. And the beautiful faux leather notebook is 100% hacking proof. An ideal gift for fans of the David Knight Show or anyone looking to start a journaling or prayer journal habit. No bells, no whistles, just pen and paper. Available at davidknight.news. Merry Christmas. again. I want to thank Ryan for at Love the Road for these bookmarks that he sent. He did the coin, and this is very much like the commemorative coin, the really large one. It's from the same people. It's very nice, solid bookmark. And again, get real. I mean, you know, it's so different. It's so new. And we look at these, the hype from all of these technocrat billionaires. Is your life better with this stuff? Maybe if you go back to the real thing, right? Go back to journaling with a diary. This is a really nice book. It's kind of got a leather feel to it. It's lined on the inside. And again, journal what you're going through. Journal the answers to your prayers as well. I wish that I had done more of a journal back during 2020. It was so depressing to watch the world just be gaslit like that and go along with it. It's like, you know, what is happening? Made one feel as if you were the only one there, but I wasn't the only one. There were other people understood, and there were, besides even our listeners, there were other people understood. But maybe I'll go back someday. I didn't do a physical journal, but I was too busy doing the show, and I could put together a journal from that. Maybe I'll do that someday. But do that in your own life. It's great to go back and read it. You know, we still go back and we look at a journal that we kept during our honeymoon back 45 years ago. So it's nice to go back. And even if it's a bad time, like 2020, to go back and to be grateful that you're not in 2020 anymore. That's that's a praise, right? So let's take a look at what the pirates are up to.
Really quickly, though, we do have some comments.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Torinator, thank you very much for the tip. Says
thank
Australia
you.
Called for a Palestinian state, so I think this was a false flag in response to that. James Lee on YouTube exposed that one of the shooters was subject of Google searches in Israel on December 9th.
Yeah, well, there's always that, you know. I mean, just at the surface level, though, you know, without uncovering any false flag attacks, and that is a thing that happens very frequently. I wouldn't rule that out at all. But I think that, and certainly, they have no compulsion. Just look at 9/11, right? This whole thing about nobody died, that was started by CIA operatives like Steve Pachinik. And that's what got Alex into a lot of trouble with that lawsuit. But nobody died has never been their motto. When you go back to Operation Gladio, which Steve Pachinik was also involved in, people died. As a matter of fact, the Prime Minister of Italy died after Steve Pachinik met with him and realized that he was on to the fact this was a NATO-organized false flag. Operation Gladio, you can look it up, it's been exposed now. And the Italian government did quite a bit of an investigation because their prime minister was kidnapped and killed. But it's always useful for them to have casualties. This nobody died stuff is absolute nonsense. That's a way to discredit people, to put out a false narrative about something. It works to their advantage when people die, if it's a false flag. So, yeah, there's always that. But just at the surface, if we look at the gun control issue, because that's the other aspect of this. When I looked at it, it's like, okay, this is they took all the guns in response to a mass shooting. So now it happens again. What are you going to do? Because that didn't stop the mass shooting, did it? And again, there's a lot of disagreement about what, if anything, they did. But it has disarmed and pacified the people of Australia. Which, no matter what else happens, that's the issue. And I got to say, it isn't about taking the guns away. It's about taking God away. We have pushed God out of our society. Why are the schools different today? Well, God was in the schools, even in the public schools when I was there. And so were guns. It only became dangerous when they pushed both guns and God out. The guns always seem to find a way to come back in, don't they? Go ahead, Travis. I'm sorry.
All right. Guard Goldsmith, and of course you can find Guard at Liberty Conspiracy, weeknights on Rumble. After the Port Arthur gun buyback grab, violent crime in PZ rose 30% and didn't go back to pre-gun grab levels until 11 years later, after black market gun acquisition.
Yeah,
the
that's right.
Oz government then did a second gun grab 2 or 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they always use that as a pretext for the stuff, and it doesn't work, but We understand that it's all about creating dependency on them. They want you dependent on them for security, for transportation, for food, for clothing, for housing, for everything. That's what totalitarian governments do. And that's why we need to keep our weapons. Yes.
Pezzo Novante, 1776. Wow, did video stores go the way of the horse and buggy or what?
Oh, yeah, they did. Yeah, as a matter of fact, we had employees who, some of them were poached from us by Northern Telecom, which was really going gangbusters at that point in time. And other people would come in and talk to us who lived in the area who worked for Northern Telecom. And they were saying, yeah, they got pictures of video stores up on the wall and saying, you know, this is what we're going to do. The streaming services that you now see, that was plotted a long time ago. Before they had the technology to do it, they ran little experiments with some communities where they had people sitting in a building with banks of video cassette recorders and people who would pull up video on demand, which is what we called it back then. Now it's just called streaming. When somebody pulled up a film that they wanted to watch, the people had actually put in a video cassette and they had a direct wire back to these houses. And they were just, you know, looking at the supply and demand side and how they were going to market things to them. The technology wasn't even there yet and they were working on it. But, so yeah, you could see that was on its way. But again, are we better off with streaming than we were with video stores? I think a lot, I've seen a lot of people say they really kind of miss the human interaction. Because people would come into the video stores and they'd hang out. We'd see the same people over and over again. It was kind of like a Cheers bar or something like that. And I would say that because I didn't really like the product that we were selling. Just like I wouldn't like it if I was selling people alcohol at a bar. But you do have the social aspect of people coming in. We'd see them over and over again. And we'd talk to them about the movies that they watched. And then we got to know them, other things in their life as well. So, yeah, I do miss that kind of human interaction, which is now gone with the streaming.
We have Dugda 007. I really miss movie rental stores. The last one in our area was killed by the COVID lockdowns.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Marvin Garden, PSYOP started the mass killing sensation. Now, thanks to MSM and Dem and Justice System, it is becoming a more grassroots fad, exemplifying the results of Zio MSM plus Dem government plus Big Pharma.
Yeah.
Assyrian girl, why illuminate the Arc de Triomphe when there is no triumph to celebrate? France is clearly defeated and its people are told to hide in their hobbit holes.
That's why they need to rename it. The Arch of Defeat. So they declared defeat for the New Year's. This is the new normal, the new Europe that they have decided they wanted to create. Well, the seized tanker reveals Cuba's secret oil lifeline as Trump turns to gunboat diplomacy. Well, there you go, the pirates of the Caribbean and the world. During Trump's first term, there was a brief moment in which the Maduro regime appeared close to being overthrown, but it was countered by support from Cuba. So we got to get rid of Cuba so we can do our regime change, our coup. What gives us the right any more than Cuba? That's the amazing thing. That's just a given for the Zero Hedge people. Well, you know, we got to get rid of Cuba because we got to get rid of Venezuela and we got to go there and steal the oil because that's what pirates do, right? Their theory of change involves cutting off all support to Cuba. And under this approach, once Venezuela goes, Cuba will follow, said a guy who worked for Joe Biden. So they explained the seized tanker, it's called Skipper. It's got a name, Skipper. It sounds like Gilligan's Island. We go from Pirates of the Caribbean to Gilligan's Island here, but it's very lethal because that's what War Pete wants. He wants lethality. He doesn't want legality. He wants lethality. And, you know, I could have, when I looked at this, I thought, when I played last week, I think it was on Friday, I played the clip that they put out. You know, we can't see what they did on that second strike. We can see the first strike.
But hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
We can't see the second strike because it's simply murder. But he says, oh, I can't reveal our tactics and things like that. No, you don't want to incriminate yourself as an international war criminal. So they won't show you that. But they'll show you the tactics of how they take over a tanker. They got videos for that, just like they'll show you videos of the first strike that's there. And so I put some music behind that, and I thought, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean, obviously. But I thought it was too heroic. You know, the Hans Zimmer soundtrack. Said, no, I could just see some of these neocon MAGA supporters really loving that. And it's like, I'm not going to give them that. I'm going to play the Pirates of the Caribbean from Disney's Ride, because these people are a bunch of clowns. And besides being murderers and thieves. So they explained the seized tanker Skipper was carrying crude that was contracted by Cuba's state-run oil trading firm. And it's a critical part of how Cuba benefits from its oil trade with Venezuela. So now we have, what are they going to call these people? Petro-terrorists now instead of narco-terrorists? Now oil is contraband. Are we going to ban that or some oil from some people? Data from Venezuela's state oil company shows Skipper's destination was listed as a Cuban port. And so they continue on in this this article from Zero Hedge that's pushing how necessary it is for us to steal oil tankers so we can conduct regime change in both Cuba and Venezuela. 2 days after its departure, Skipper offloaded a small fraction of its oil to another ship called the Neptune 6, which then headed north toward Cuba. Skipper headed east toward Asia. And the tiny ship was tossed, I guess. It was not the USS Minnow, but it was the Neptune 6. In recent years, however, only a fraction of Venezuelan oil set aside for Cuba has actually reached the island. Most of the oil allocated for Cuba has instead been resold to China, with the money providing badly needed hard currency for the Cuban government, according to many people in the Venezuelan government. And then they find, I guess we could wait for them to call this guy an oil kingpin, right? They've identified a Panamanian businessman who sells oil. Can you imagine that? He's not like Exxon or something. This guy is evil. Panamanian businessman, Ramon Carretero, is at the center of the Venezuelan-Cuba oil flow. Can you believe this is coming from Zero Hedge, of all things? I thought these people were about free markets, right? The main person managing the flow of oil between Cuba and Venezuela is a Panamanian businessman named Ramon Carretero, who in the past few years has become one of the largest traders of Venezuelan oil. Obviously, an oil kingpin, a petro-terrorist. Before shipping Venezuelan oil, Skipper spent 4 years as part of Iran's covert fleet. Ah, here we go. The anthropomorphism of the oil tanker called Skipper. We're going to treat Skipper as a criminal, because that's what the U.S. government has been doing with this insane war on drugs for the longest time. Civil asset forfeiture. U.S. versus Learjet serial number, blah, blah, blah. U.S. versus $9,000 cash. U.S. versus this particular house that they've stolen. Or a hotel that had 3 drug busts in 15 years. and the U.S. attorney in Massachusetts who was involved with the death of Aaron Swartz, who was pushing back against the government's agenda in terms of censorship and surveillance. She was the one who brought that operation against the hotel there, saying, well, it's dirty, it's dealing drugs, because there were three drug busts there in 15 years. I'm going to take the entire hotel. That's what these people do. This is nothing, this confiscation of the oil tanker is nothing other than the absurd, distorted, metastasizing war on drugs. It's absolutely disgusting. So Skipper, for 4 years, worked for Iran, so therefore we should take it, and we should chop it up into little tiny pieces. Oh no, they're going to keep the oil because it's going to be, you know, somewhere between a 50 and or $60 million and $130 million worth of oil, depending on how loaded it was. So far, Beijing has yet to lash out over the Skipper seizure. Oh, so now it's Chinese, right? Let's see, was it Venezuelan? Or was it Cuba? Or was it China? Oh, it checks all the boxes. We even got a connection to Iran, so we had to take it. That's the only rational thing to do, is to take that. That's what a pirate would say. Zerohead just supporting this piracy. Shame on them. So far, Beijing is yet to lash out over the Skipper seizure and the resulting disruptions to crude flows to Asia. One has to wonder whether Besant worked out a secret deal with Beijing. Otherwise, this type of maneuvering by the Trump administration risks triggering turmoil that could derail any upcoming Trump-Xi talks. Well, you know, he's already given a black eye to the soybean farmers and many other farmers because of his stupid tariffs. That's what pirates do. Ukraine war is coming to the Caspian Sea. There's pirates everywhere. And what are they doing in the Caspian Sea? Well, they're attacking the oil infrastructure there. Ukraine is attacking the oil infrastructure of Russia and the Caspian Sea. The offshore oil field is run by Lukoil, a big Russian government, effectively to halt production. It is said to be the single biggest oil field in the Russian sector of the Caspian. Ukraine's security services, the SBU, said its forces targeted the field, which lies in the northern sector of the sea. Four drones reportedly struck the offshore platform, causing a stoppage of over 20 wells. This is Ukraine's first strike on a Russian infrastructure related to oil production in the Caspian Sea. Yeah, these things are like a tinderbox. I remember the movie. I don't remember the name of it, but it was a movie that had John Wayne in it. And he played the role of a guy who was the worldwide expert in terms of putting out fires at oil wells, because it's hard to, if you start a fire, you can't put it out. Or was it Red Adair? I don't know. It was an interesting movie. But yeah, you know, once you light one of these things off, and it doesn't take much to do it, a drone with a little bit of explosives would do it. So again, the pirates are everywhere. Between August and the end of November this year, Ukraine has struck nearly 80 Russian energy facilities in total. Kiev is desperately trying to play the only card that it has, choking off energy revenue and funding for Russia's war machine. But so far, the Kremlin has weathered the storm. They may still feel the squeeze down the line, especially amid slowed repair efforts, given the sheer volume of incidents. Russia has taken desperate measures, even draping refineries and oil depots with giant netting, or else ramping up ground anti-drone forces. But throughout the war, small, long-range drones have proven devastating and able to oftentimes penetrate even the most sophisticated defensive measures. Yeah, that's a real issue, the way that has changed. And let me just say this. Do you see any netting around any of our crucial infrastructure anywhere? I don't see any. How easy would that be in America to take down our infrastructure all at once? Bottom line, folks, it's not a matter of if. It's a matter of when it happens, especially because we're going around kicking sand in everybody's face everywhere. It's just a matter of time before somebody does it, small or large. It doesn't. Anybody could take down our infrastructure very, very quickly. Again, it's another reason why you need to look at civildefensemanual.com at jacklawsonbooks.com. Civildefensemanual at jacklawsonbooks.com. And, you know, start preparing for taking care of yourself as the infrastructure goes down, because it is incredibly vulnerable. And it gets more and more vulnerable every day because of the technology changes, but also because of our bullheaded, stupid geopolitics. The only thing dumber than the terrorists that Trump has done is his geopolitical bullying that he has done with everybody, picking fights even with people who are our allies, putting tariffs even on people that we have a surplus of trade with. And he's done that in many different places. What used to be occasional strikes meant to cause damage has now become a sustained effort to keep refineries from ever fully stabilizing, they said. Well, Erdogan is warning against the same thing happening in the Black Sea, because you just had, as this thing enlarges, a Turkish ship was hit. And this was hit by, not by the Ukrainians, but by the Russians, I believe. Yeah, it was a Russian airstrike that hit a Turkish-owned vessel in a port in Ukraine's Black Sea region. So it's a Turkish vessel in a Ukrainian port, so Russia takes out the vessel. This is why I say globally we're going to see a lot of disruptions, not just from Trump's tariffs, but also from this escalating world war. And that's how world wars begin, as Gerald Suntee's pointed out many times. Look at what preceded, the sanctions and things like that preceded Japan's attack on Pearl Harbor. We had already backed them into a corner with our sanctions and things like that. Sanctions are a prelude to war. And I said from the very beginning of the 2020 episode of Trump, I said the sanctions that he's, you have to understand these lockdowns are sanctions. And they are prelude to a war with the American people being run by Donald Trump back in 2020. And of course, it was a bipartisan war. Biden was all about that as well. So this is a Russian airstrike on a Turkish ship in a Ukraine port in the Black Sea. The Black Sea should not be considered a zone of confrontation, said Turkish officials. This would benefit neither Russia nor Ukraine. Well, the bottom line is war doesn't ever benefit anybody except the geopolitical class. They always benefit from it. The bankers benefit from it. The people who are dealing stocks and things like that benefit from it. But nobody else does. It's a horrible thing. This broken window fallacy has been fully embraced by the American public. Oh, it's good when we have war because we, build up the economy. It's how we got out of the Depression and so forth. No, it's not. It is the broken window fallacy. Putin has doubled down on backing Maduro as U.S. prepares to seize more oil tankers. So, again, the question always was, will the Kremlin, will China do something to protect him? But it looks like he's backing down a bit here. Putin expressed solidarity with the Venezuelan people and reaffirmed his support for Maduro. Well, the bottom line is that Russia was not able to help Syria, either then or now. There is, unfortunately, the pirates of the Pentagon have a great deal of firepower on their side, and they have no legal or moral constraints in what they do.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces. I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spend it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Russian Deputy Foreign Minister said that his country would stand shoulder to shoulder with Venezuela in this time of crisis, but he didn't offer anything concrete. Yeah, just lip service and virtue signaling. Meanwhile, in Syria, where the Russians were not able to keep Assad in power and America was able to put in an ISIS Al-Qaeda terrorist. That's who he is, guys. There's no doubt about it. His entire life has been one of terrorism. And as the war was dragging on for many, many years, we had report after report of how, and of course mainstream media pushed back against it, but it was true. We were arming ISIS. They were our surrogates in Syria. And the issue there again was an oil pipeline. So we're still in Syria. Two soldiers and an American civilian who was translating were killed, and three more were wounded in an ambush in Syria. The question is, why are we there? I mean, didn't we put our surrogate terrorist in charge there? Why do we need to be there? Well, we're always involved in this. We need to be everywhere, Washington tells us. Washington's Syria intervention is the mess that keeps on giving. Every time we go into another country, especially because it's not legal, it's not moral, but it's also massively incompetent. We lose every war. When are people... I don't even understand the neocon warmongers. Aren't you tired of losing? You're not winning. You're not getting tired of winning. I'm tired of losing people and money on these things. And losing the national security that really matters as we create enemies everywhere who very soon may come home to roost in this country, attacking our very, very vulnerable infrastructure here. Two U.S. Army soldiers and an American civilian serving as an interpreter were killed. Because I guess we're still there so that, as Trump said in his first term, yeah, we just take the oil. Trump, the pirate king. That's right. And we're not terrorists. We just work with terrorists. We just look like we're terrorists. We just do terrorist things. But we're not terrorists. The other people are terrorists. So three other American service members were wounded in the attack. Three killed, three wounded. Reports of the gunman was actually part of the Jolani Shara regime forces. This terrorist that was just in the Oval Office. Claiming that ISIS was behind the attack on the U.S. troops in Palmyra is not factual, said one person. While the attacker may have had a history with ISIS, blah, blah, blah. Now, the government of Syria is a terrorist government run by the terrorist, for the terrorist, and still doing terrorist things. Even though Trump has tried to play nice with them and invited him into the Oval Office, and Biden set them up to win, but of course it was going on during the Trump administration as well. Syrian state, SANA, indicates that two members of the Syrian security detail were also wounded. So there is reporting from a guy who has been a reporter in that area for quite some time. 2015, the Syrian army was pushed out by advancing ISIS terrorists, and troops serving under Assad were executed. Assad forces and the Russian military eventually liberated it. And so, again, this is, you want to know who the terrorists are? Terrorists are people who execute other people without due process, where no quarter is given. Does that look like Venezuela? Does that look like the Christian nationalist Warpeet? What a joke. What a reproach he is in the name of Christ. Hegseth. Man. ISIS began by executing the former director of antiquities in Palmyra, a devoted, outstanding archaeologist who love the city like no one else. And again, it has some very famous ruins there. There's old temples, tombs, monumental arches, standing columns. All these were destroyed by the Muslims that were there. They took over the Muslim terrorists. They destroyed a large number of sculptures and artifacts that have been left there. In March of 2016, the Assad forces, backed by the Russian military, recaptured Palmyra and immediately started building a Russian military base within the World Heritage Site. ISIS then recaptured Palmyra in early December 2016 and destroyed the theater and the Terra Pylon, whatever that is, and damaged the theater there. Assad regime forces managed to take it back in March of 2017. Washington at the time didn't seem to mind that ISIS was taking over key Syrian sites. No, it was a victory for them because ISIS was our guy. We were working with ISIS just like we had worked with their predecessor, the Mujahideen in Afghanistan. Given admissions from top U.S. officials that they could, quote, manage ISIS by using terrorism to keep pressure on Assad. Isn't that interesting? You know, we're going to talk about the UFOs and the occult and what the government was in it for. And they say over and over again, when they created these things, it's done by the military, they thought, well, if there's something there, we might be able to use it for a weapon. Everything that they do is designed to find weapons to use against their enemies, and that includes us in America. It's all about weapons. It's about weaponizing everything that they find, the technology, you name it. And so, yeah, we can use ISIS as a weapon. This is very much like the whole Alien series. You know, let's bring that thing back. You know, I'm sure there's some way that the military could use that creature, right? Remember leaked audio of then Secretary of State John Kerry admitting that the U.S. backed ISIS in Syria? Daesh, he said, was threatening to take Damascus. That's why Russia came in. And we saw it coming too. But we thought we could use it to force Assad to negotiate. So yeah, we can use those terrorists there. And they can also use the label of terrorists to do whatever they wish as pirates. So Trump tells ISIS, we will retaliate after this terrible ambush that killed three U.S. troops in Syria. Yeah, he will double down. We will not leave anybody alone. And out of hubris and to not lose face, they will double down there. The gunman who killed three Americans in Syria was a member of Syria's government security forces. Not ISIS? Well, no, actually. ISIS and the Syrian government is a distinction without a difference. The Syrian Observatory for Human Rights first reported that the attacker was a member of the security forces called for the Syrian government, led by Tahrir al-Sham, is a sham. Sam the Sham and the Pharaohs there. And an offshoot of al-Qaeda to get rid of the members who have an ISIS ideology. Yeah, we'd get these guys out. Well, there wouldn't be anybody left, really. We discovered him in December, and we were going to dismiss him, but we didn't make it in time because of the holiday. Yeah, that's right. We wanted to get rid of him, but there was a holiday, so, you know, it really wasn't a priority. The attacker had been in the security forces for more than 10 months and was posted to several cities before being transferred to this one, Palmyra. According to a Palestinian journalist, Wa'il Essam, who's covered the conflict in Syria for many years, the perpetrator has been identified as Tariq al-Hamad from the Aleppo countryside. Yeah, there's Aleppo again. Gary Johnson, remember when he had a serious interview with a group of journalists and they asked him, well, what do you think about Aleppo? Because it's just been a long, drawn-out, bloody massacre there. And Gary Johnson was like, Aleppo? Aleppo? What is an Aleppo? They're like, you can't be serious. And it really was something that was just permeating the news cycle at the time. It's really funny, not what happened in Aleppo, but that he wouldn't know anything about it when he's running for president. If he was a genuine libertarian, what was happening in Aleppo was exhibit one against the folly of American geopolitics. He was previously a member of ISIS, but he traveled to the former home base of this group that is now in charge, the terrorists that are now in charge of Syria. And he joined General Security, which is an organization, they call it. Anyway, he killed three, wounded three, and then blew himself up, according to Issam's report. They did not hunt him down and kill him, as Warpeet wants to suggest. Assam also suggested other members of the Syrian security forces were involved in the attack. Wasn't a lone shooter. He said, security forces confirmed to me that Syrian intelligence, along with the coalition forces, arrested six elements from the general security at the headquarters in Palmyra that were accused of coordinating the operation with him. And it is said that they are from the group that moved with him from the desert to the general security in Idlib. He added that Syrian authorities were unable to identify his previous affiliation with the organization ISIS. There were hundreds like him. Due to the large numbers who joined and which the security apparatus needed after the fall of the regime. Same type of stuff. We were not able to vet this Afghan terrorist who killed, shot the two National Guard. Only one of them died, I think, so far. No word on the man. I think he's recovering. He's in very bad shape. Trump recently hosted this terrorist, Sharah, at the White House. Despite his past as an al-Qaeda leader and an ally of Abu Bakr and Baghdadi, the founder of ISIS, probably not in spite of it, but probably because of it. Maybe they got an American name for him like they called Osama bin Laden, Tim Osman, when he came to Washington and the CIA. Trump and Warpeet vowed that there would be retaliation for the attack.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces. I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spend it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
They are out of their depth, quite frankly. Well, U.S.-trained Somalian forces have killed dozens of civilians in an attack on a village in southern Somalia, says antiwar.com. Again, more like pirates. And again, we don't draw a distinction between non-combatant civilians and soldiers or terrorists. And this is a damning aspect of our Pentagon at this moment. During an attack on a village in southern Somalia that started Tuesday night and continued until Wednesday morning, all night, they attacked the village. It's about 40 kilometers west of Mogadishu. The group is called Alpha Group, a special operations branch of Somalia's National Intelligence and Security Agency that has received training from the U.S. That would be, I guess, the CIA. They're the guys that come in and create the death squads, that create the secret police, that arrest and torture dissidents in Iran under the Shah. So again, the CIA is doing this in other countries. Do you think they do it here? What do you think? The CIA, I guess, in the U.S., once they come back to the U.S., these murdering terrorists become Boy Scouts. They're the good guys, we're told. No, they're not. The Somali government said the attack was a special operation against al-Shabaab fighters, but residents denied that there were any militants in the area. Well, you know, these civilians could grow up to become al-Shabaab, so let's kill them. Guess what? You just made sure that any survivors will become al-Shabaab. Your civilian raids are the best recruiting program that these terrorist organizations could have. The raid came less than a month after a suspected U.S. airstrike killed 12 civilians, including 8 children, in an attack on the village in southern Jubaland province. The U.S. has conducted a record number of airstrikes in Somalia this year under Trump, both against al-Shabaab in southern and central Somalia and against the ISIS affiliate in the northeastern Puntland region, where the U.S. backs local forces. So, you know, we have to have the TSA do biometrics on us, put us in databases, and, you know, give us naked body scanners or pat-downs, all because of ISIS and al-Qaeda. But, you know, we worked with these people. We still were sending money to Taliban. That just got cut off. There was a fight over that in the NDAA. Marco Rubio said, okay, we'll stop that. How about that? Now vote for it. Why were we sending money to the Taliban? You know, we were there for, what, 20 years or something, practically. And why were we sending money to the people that were fighting? Isn't that the pinnacle of absurdity from the Pentagon? I mean, it was kind of a joke with the mouse that roared, or Peter Sellers, but it's not funny anymore. It's beyond stupid. It's evil. It's corrupt. And it doesn't do anything to make us safer. The Pentagon is just robbing us like it's robbing other people. Ron Paul says the unconstitutional Hegseth killings must stop. He said, many Americans don't want to hear this, but the entire operation is illegal and immoral. As he's saying, you know, the first strike, not even the second strike, but the first strike was. I think the issue about the second strike is it's just a bit more blatant and obvious to the average person who's not really paying much attention. When Admiral Alvin Halsey, the commander of U.S. Southern Command, raised concerns about the legality of bombing boats on the high seas and extrajudicial killings, he was pushed out by Hegseth, and his concerns were ignored. When lawyers at the National Security Council, Pentagon, and Justice Department raised objections to the boat attacks, they were reassigned or fired. Finally, Trump's own appointed lawyers at the Justice Department came up with a justification for the killings. However, it's been classified. We're not allowed to see it. You know, just like the second strike video, we're not allowed to see these things. I guess they'd have to kill us if we found out. So this entire operation, says Ron Paul, is illegal and immoral. I agree 100% with him. From blowing up survivors to blowing up boats in the first place, there is no legal justification to use military force against boats on the high seas that pose no imminent military threat to the U.S. Many supporters of this policy argue that the killings are, quote, self-defense, unquote, because the so-called narco-terrorists are using narcotics as weapons against the American people. This is the administration line. It's being parroted by a lot of people in the MAGA alternative media. I think we need to rename it. I think we need to call them mad, as in not only just angry, but crazy. Yeah, you have the Make America Doublethink Again. They hate all the different things that Trump has done. They hate the mRNA. They don't like the AI that he's pushing on everybody. But they absolutely will never, never connect the dots back to him. They're making America doublethink. They're mad. They're crazy. This shows how effective government war propaganda still is, that you have this new term that's been invented called narco-terrorist to justify the killings. They've been drug dealers and cartels for a long time, but now if we call them narco-terrorists, we can kill them. It's just kind of like what George H.W. Bush dead when he invaded Panama. He started calling Manuel Noriega a strong man. Strong man, Manuel Noriega. He just heard that over and over again. Repeat, repeat, repeat. This shows how effective government war propaganda still is. It was used when both Republicans and Democrat administrations wanted to launch wars against Saddam Hussein, against Gaddafi, against Assad, and on and on and on. New slogans are invented and a good deal of the public happily adopt them as their own. Anyone who challenges a new slogan is deemed to be unpatriotic or weak. When the war goes badly, they pretend that they were never fooled by the government lies. Then it happens again and they repeat the new war slogans. The so-called war on drugs, launched by Nixon a half century ago, was obviously another failed government policy. Raising the stakes in a failed war is foolish and counterproductive. But that's what we do everywhere, isn't it? You know, every time the government fails, they raise the stakes, they double down, and they increase more of it. And as I said before, I think this is the logical conclusion. It's where it was going for the longest time. And you had Tom Clancy, who wrote about this, wrote a novel about this called Clear and Present Danger, and of course they made a movie about it as well. All predictive programming. Where did this kind of stuff come from? Steve Pachinik was very proud of saying that he gave ideas to Tom Clancy, who fleshed them out. Yeah. The seminal liar. The solution to smuggling during alcohol prohibition was not to start bombing the bootleggers. It was to come to terms with basic economies. You cannot kill demand by killing supply. And now we have proven that with 54 years of the failed war on drugs. More Americans die each year from alcohol than from fentanyl use. Did you know that? Well, we now have strikes launched against alco-terrorists who are killing Americans. We used to say in the Libertarian Party, we say, you know, the biggest drug dealer in North Carolina is the state of North Carolina because they owned the liquor stores. They set up ABC stores. They didn't want private individuals to do that. We kind of have the same thing with the federal government. You know, we got the CIA doesn't want any competition. So they want to run all the drugs themselves. That's the danger of throwing away the laws of war. Anything can happen next. Congress has the authority to stop Hegseth from killing people on the high seas, and it should do so without delay, says Ron Paul. Absolutely agree. Israel, meanwhile, used Palantir technology in its 2024 Lebanon pager attack, claims a new book that is out, a biography about Alex Karp. On September 17th, thousands of pagers belonging to Hezbollah members, as you may know, we'll just review this, including civilians not involved in any armed activity, were detonated across Lebanon. Many showed error messages and vibrated loudly prior to exploding. Hezbollah members, or in some cases their family members, who were standing close by at the point of detonation. The next day, more communication devices exploded, including at the public funerals of Hezbollah members and civilians who had been killed the previous day. While many Israeli figures celebrated, praised, and even joked about the attacks, UN experts call them a terrifying violation of international law. Yeah, you know, assassinations and coups and attacking civilians. We used to have laws and moral standards. We don't anymore. 47 people were killed. Thousands were wounded. Many left with life-threatening injuries to eyes, face, and hands. Karp's new biography reveals that Israel deepened its use of the company's technology after the Gaza War. The company's technology was deployed by Israelis during military operations in Lebanon in 2024. The book is called The Philosopher in the Valley, Alex Karp, Palantir, and the Rise of the Surveillance State. I gotta say, you know, I read his book and his own take on what needs to happen, how our society and civilization needs to be taken, is a frightening expose of the dark side of this guy. As a matter of fact, I had some clips, I hadn't played them yet, and this is from, this is Alex Karp at talking to people. This was, I've had this in the deck almost a week now. He was talking to some people and everybody said, is he high on drugs?
Decisions when we began talking.
Watch this.
Annoying each other 10 years ago. Hopefully I'm annoying you as much as 10 years ago.
Is he a narco-terrorist?
Or more. When I made a, you know this, yeah. Every decision Palantir made, FDA's going public, building products, no one, enterprise, large data sets, going to government, acknowledging American superiority, being pro-meritocracy, launching an AI platform, calling into question that AI models would actually be able to perform without orchestration. Every single one of those is viewed as stupid.
What's he on? That's what people were saying. What is he on? And what was interesting was that his own organization, Palantir, came out and said, everybody knows that he loves to ski, which is a double entendre for doing cocaine. People are already saying that about him. So people responded to that they said they're not even trying to hide it. They're joking about him. And he's in cocaine. So somebody put AI to, I think it's in its best use, and did this with Alex Karp. He's turning somersaults in the chair, defying gravity, doing spins and everything. Same background there, same guy, just had him doing all this stuff. Of course, that's what you can do with AI. But unfortunately, what he's doing is not a joke. It's incredibly evil, and this guy makes no apologies about it. He absolutely has no conscience about it. His conscience, if you ever had one, is seared with a hot iron. So they also used it. They called this attack Operation Grim Beeper. Grim Beeper. So Palantir and Alex Karp, absolutely unashamed of assassinations, of surveillance. It's a new low of depravity by the intelligence state that he represents. And they quietly land now in the education department through a foreign funding portal. So these people who have been involved in psyops and manipulation and surveillance, geospatial intelligence, now they have a foothold in the education department of the Trump administration. The quiet move marks the technology company's latest expansion into federal government work, particularly in data management services. An education department spokesperson confirmed that Palantir was involved as a subcontractor for their revamped foreign funding portal. The agency announced the portal project this week, but did not name the vendors behind it. The portal will serve as a central place for schools to disclose to the Department of Education any foreign source gifts and contracts worth $250,000 or more, said the agency. Palantir is a subcontractor to a company called Moncton. However, if you this is how they discovered it. This is a Free Thought Project, and the article comes from FedScoop. And what they were doing was they have a bot, FedScoop does, that was that basically looks for new government domains. That'd be, you know, anything, .gov, just like they had their AI.gov stuff and everything. So it turned up this name, and they started asking questions. So they found that there was a $98 million contract for the design, development, and deployment of this website. Palantir is not publicly listed as a subcontractor on the project represented by the website. So Section 117 of the Higher Education Act requires schools to disclose foreign gifts and contracts over $250,000.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moto Casino, America. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Now, what is interesting, I think, about this is the fact I've said that AI is going to be used for surveillance, for enforcement, for auditing. They will be using this in the same way that Pulte, that the guy Pulte from Pulte Homes, the family business, Impedimented Housing and Urban Development, same way that he went to him and said, get something on Letitia James. She came after me for some real estate projects and some contracts. Let's see if we can find something on her. He found some dirt on her. And now they've taken two shots at trying to indict her. And the grand juries, which always, prosecutors always seem to win with grand juries, twice now they have been shut down with Letitia James. I'm not saying that she's innocent. I'm just saying that, you know, like Dennis Hastert. Dennis Hastert, former longest speaker of the House for the GOP, and became a congressman. His experience was as a wrestling coach. But his relevant experience was that he was a pedophile and he was blackmailable. So they got him into Congress, and then they made him Speaker of the House. He should have gone to jail for pedophilia. Instead, they manufactured a crime for him that he had supposedly structured withdrawals. After people started asking him, why is he taking out this money that he's paying to one of his former victims who was blackmailing him? He didn't want any questions, so he took the money out in small amounts that were under the threshold to try to avoid detection. They call that structuring. That is not a crime. That's nonsense. And so they came after him and sent him to jail for that because statute of limitations was over for pedophilia. But over and over again, you see, when you look at what Comey did, and especially what Letitia James did, and she's still up to this. I mean, she's coming after, I think it's Christian schools now that she's coming after. And she's always doing nefarious things. She's always abusing her office and doing unconstitutional things. And she did it against Donald Trump. And I said from the very beginning, I hope that it doesn't become a personal vendetta for Trump. But I knew that it would. And I said Trump even wants it that way. He doesn't want to come after these people that abuse their office in a way that would strengthen the rule of law and strengthen and reform the institutions. No, no, no. He doesn't care about that at all. He just wants to show people, don't mess with me, I'll get you. Right? It's a mafia outlook. Certainly doesn't care about the rule of law or any reform. And so it's unfortunate that that's happening. She does deserve to be punished for the things that she's done, but not for the way that he's coming after her. Again, this is this whole Me Too-ism. You know, well, so-and-so did this, so now I can do it. Right? They did lawfare against me, so now I can do lawfare against them. I seem to remember when I was a kid, my mom told me two wrongs make a right. That is absolutely the truth in politics. And I keep hearing the excuses for what Trump is doing. Well, they did it, so now we can do it. And that doesn't make it right. And he should be doing just the opposite of what they did. Anyway, speculation of the portal began after it was discovered by a bot that was tracking new government domains. And when FedScoop visited the link on Thursday, shortly before 10:30 a.m., it showed a blocked network alert. We said the network connection you're using is not in your enrollment's ingress allow list. Please contact your enrollment administrator or Palantir representative. Besides all the techno speak, that was the interesting thing. And then they said upon revisiting the page about an hour later, the website showed a login page that had a Palantir logo at the top. So they're just a subcontractor, or are they the main contractor? After 2 hours after that, the Palantir logo was replaced with an Education Department logo, which is where it stands now. So they're even working their tentacles into the Department of Education. Of course they are. So Government Unchained, the year the Constitution lost its guardrails. This is by John Whitehead at the Rutherford Institute. You also find it on Free Thought Project. He sums it up by saying, we now live in a nation where constitutional rights exist in theory but not in practice. What good are rights on paper when every branch of government is allowed to ignore, circumvent, chip away, or hollow them out in practice? And I just had somebody make a comment about that the other day. What good is it to talk about the Constitution? Well, it's good to talk about the Constitution because, as he points out, the founders never intended for the government to reform itself. They knew that wasn't going to happen. The Constitution was written and the Bill of Rights were written, but they expected that we, the people, would make them obey this stuff. And if we're going to take a back seat, we're going to be apathetic about it or fatalistic about it. No, nothing can ever be done about it. They will just continue to get worse. If Americans are finally hearing the true significance of constitutional limits, it's because the government keeps violating them and daring anybody to stop it. That is the Trump administration in a nutshell. I'm going to violate the law, I'm going to violate the Constitution, and I dare you to stop me. Time and again, the message is being drummed into our hands that the constitutional limits no longer apply when it's inconvenient to those in power. If Trump wants to ignore the government deficit and then focus on the trade deficit, then he can do whatever he wants. He can declare a phony emergency and unilaterally set trade policy and tax rates or tariffs, which is clearly the responsibility of Congress, and another phony emergency and another accompanying executive order. Any government that treats rights as privileges, contingent on economic status or citizenship or race or orientation or religious beliefs or political alignment, has already abandoned the Bill of Rights. And a government that does so with the court's blessing is not a constitutional republic. The Bill of Rights was intended as a bulwark, and each of the amendments was drafted as a barrier against a specific form of tyranny. This is why I point out over and over again, people say, oh, due process. We don't give due process to illegal immigrants. If you don't do that, the founders didn't write it for citizens. If you have to be a citizen in order to have your God-given rights respected, then it won't be long before the government doesn't respect the God-given rights of its citizens. It's not based on our connection to government. It's based on our connection to God. And you break that connection if you say, I don't want to give these people who are here illegally, I don't want to give them any due process. Do whatever you want. I voted for this. I'm so sick and tired of seeing these idiots. Every time it's something awful, they boast about how they voted for it. Maybe we need to vet not just the people coming into this country, but the people who are going into the voting booths. Make sure they're not psychopaths or idiots. Although Americans no longer face the literal quartering of troops in their homes, he goes down this, you know, we know about the violations, First Amendment, Second Amendment, Third Amendment. I thought it was interesting. He sees it as basically pushing back against the quartering of soldiers. He said he sees it as the use of the military against civilians. But I see it in even more direct, literal sense. I've said for the longest time that I think the violation of the Third Amendment is coming in the ways that the government occupies our computers, sometimes just spying on our computers, sometimes doing more, putting surveillance viruses in and things like that. If you're a person of interest, they do a lot more of that. And so I see that as a violation of the Third Amendment. Not a literal troops, but you know, your other partner there that's using up a lot of cycles on your computer spying on you. So he talks about the Fourth Amendment was about privacy without any boundaries. The Fifth and Sixth Amendments were due process, but now we have a process that is not that's a phony, fraudulent process, and not the kind of process that is due legally. And then he says the Eighth Amendment, well, he says Seventh Amendment, civil justice denied by design. And he's talking about jury trials there. And, of course, in today's articles, I saw somebody talking about how, you know, Trump needs to get the upper hand with Letitia James and others like this. And the problem is the juries. Juries are the problem now, say the MAGA idiots. You know, we got to get rid of free speech. We got to get rid of trial by jury, and on and on and on. Anything in order to give Trump more power that, by the way, will be wielded by the next Democrat in office. The Eighth Amendment, justice without humanity. And in that, he talks about a widely reported incident, a detainee held on a nonviolent immigration violation died after being denied medical care for hours, a tragedy that officials just dismissed as, quote, procedurally compliant. They don't really care, right? We have divorced morality from law. And, of course, they have divorced their responsibility from the law as well. These are symptoms of a system that is designed for maximum control and minimum accountability. And so, again, the Tenth Amendment, we'll talk more about this, and especially with the AI takeover of Donald Trump. Powers that were reserved to the people being swept aside. I've never seen a president in my lifetime who has done more to attack the Tenth Amendment than Donald Trump. It began with his subversion of bribery and blackmail, you know, giving people money or denying funds to them through the lockdown stuff and everything. But now it has become very open and in your face. That's the way it always happens. He says, consider what this means to live under the American police state of 2025. Your digital life is a government search zone. Your speech can place you on a watch list. Your movements are tracked without a warrant. Your property can be seized without meaningful judicial review. Your community can be subjected to predictive policing algorithms with no oversight. And your rights depend on which legal category you fall into, and the courts increasingly refuse to intervene. I would say that when you look at this, I think it is all a combination of the feral, the now wild federal government. It's a combination of their omnipresence and their omniscience, basically because...
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces. I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spend it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Of technology, but all that to, you know, push digital ID and the powers that they assume to have, that they want to make use to make themselves omnipotent, come through the drug war. And we look at those three omnis, of course, that is government as God, omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient about everything that you're doing. He said, America's founders assumed that the people, not the president, not the politicians, not the courts, the people would be the ones to keep the government in check. What the police state wants for us to do is to meekly accept its constitutional violations as normal or as inevitable. Boy, this is what I see all the time from conservatives. Or even justified. I voted for this. That is what sustains and fuels tyranny. That's right. We cannot afford to be complacent. If Americans want a government bound by law, we have to insist on it daily, loudly, relentlessly, without apology, and without fear. If 2025 was the year the Constitution became optional, 2026 will determine whether it becomes obsolete. That's the fight ahead for the next year. So as they talk about the pirates everywhere, it's not just the U.S., it's also the EU. Freezing $245 billion in Russian assets and saying, well, I think we'll, give half of it to Ukraine and call it a reparations loan, a loan that they're not going to pay back. And kind of put this in perspective. $245 billion, that's about a quarter of Russia's annual GDP. And the $105 billion that they want to give to Ukraine is about a third more than their annual GDP. That's what we're really talking about here. And what they have done, Ursula von der Leyen, or as I call her, Ursula Fond of Lying, said, I welcome the decision of the Council on our proposal to continue the immobilization of Russian sovereign assets. Isn't it interesting? All the different euphemisms that they come up with for theft. Here we call it asset forfeiture. There they call it immobilization and so forth. And what it means is that they had to, after they stole this money, and this is, again, what has set the ball rolling on a complete redesign of the global financial system, it's going to make it a multipolar financial system. What set the ball rolling was this massive theft, this piracy. And so they've set up the rules. It used to be that they would have to renew it every 6 months. Now what they just did, and they were worried because both Hungary and Slovakia, where both of them were threatening to veto it, and it only needed one country, but they never did. It was just empty virtue signaling on the part of Hungary and Slovakia. So now the pirates have won, and they have said, well, we're going to keep the money unless you have 55% of the EU's population, at least 15 countries, that would represent more than 55% of the EU's population, unless they all vote to lift the freeze now. So we did have a situation where one country every 6 months could have stopped it. Now it's only going to be stopped if we've got 15 countries that represent more than 55% of the EU's population. That's the only way it's going to be stopped. Otherwise, we're going to keep the money. And to make people think that we're not thieves and pirates, we're going to give 105 of the 245. We're going to give that to Ukraine to show how compassionate we are. And the reason they're giving it to Ukraine is because these pirates want the Ukrainians to fight Russia for them. So this is all coming ahead of European Council summit that's going to happen this week, where EU leaders could unlock billions of euros in Russian assets to get critical financing for Kyiv. That's what they say it's for. Probably going to find its way into the pockets of people like Ursula, Fond of Lying, and other of that ilk. So it's a two-step process. First, they change it so that there's no way that they can unsteal the money. It's been immobilized in their terminology. The second thing they do is give themselves access to it, to unlock it and say, that's now ours. And that's where we are with all this stuff. Let's, Travis, you want to read the comments real quickly before we take a break?
Absolutely. Hi, Boost says, David, I think you should play a clip of War, Pete, and Trump every day when they said no new wars.
Yeah, that's right.
Real Jason Barker says, remember when...
I could run the entire show just playing clips showing that Trump lied about everything. And I could include the stuff that happened in 2020 as well. Sorry, go ahead.
There's too much of it.
Yeah.
Real Jason Barker, and of course Jason Barker's parts of the Knights of the Storm, along with Angry Tiger and Karen Carpenter.
Yes.
You can go to theknightsofthestorm.com and check their website out for the schedule. Remember when paying for cable was because it was ad-free? Now cable is flooded with pharma ads.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anytime my wife and I stop on the road and we turn on the TV, I'm amazed by the sheer number of drug ads.
That's right. Yeah, we were in North Carolina, and we moved out into the sticks, and we didn't have anything. I mean, we didn't have any wireless coverage or anything. They didn't run any wired cable or anything into our neighborhood. And so we hadn't seen television, really, for several years. We went on a vacation, and we flip on the TV after 1996, and it's just filled with pharmaceutical ads. It's like, this is really strange, you know. And that was the beginning of all this stuff. Yeah.
We have Defy Tyrant 1776 says, who'd have thunk that the biggest pirate on Earth would be a 300-pound cheese puff? The real Ox?
Yeah. Instead of Blackbeard, we got Orange Face, the pirate. Right? Arr.
Arr, matey. We're going to make you walk the plank. The real Octo.
The biggest plank.
It's the best. The real Octo spook. We force Russia into the box our embedded government criminals have constructed for them.
Mm-hmm.
President Avante, 1776. Yep, David, they lose all the wars all the way to the bank.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he says, maybe it's better that Gary Johnson didn't know anything about Aleppo. Maybe all presidential candidates should be equally ignorant so as to avoid foreign entanglements.
Yeah, well, maybe it's necessary to see how we've lost. On the flip side of that, I remember talking about it in the late 1980s, early 1990s when I was involved in the Libertarian Party, and I got a chance to talk to people. I said, you know, if you look at Switzerland, a poll there showed that most of the people in Switzerland have no idea who the president of Switzerland is because he has no effect on their life. Can you imagine something like that happening here in America? Let's imagine that. What would have to happen for us to get federal government so much out of our lives that we didn't know or care who the president was? Wouldn't that be a nice situation? I think people could go for that now if we put that idea out.
Jerry. Jerry Alitalo says, Alex Karp consumed half of the 400 tons of cocaine Trump pardoned Juan Orlando Hernandez for. iHandy says, what a time to be alive. Can't even trust what you see with your own two eyes.
That's right. Absolutely right. Well, we're going to take a quick break, folks. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
APS Radio delivers multiple channels of music right to your mobile device. Get the APS Radio app today and listen wherever you go.
Well, welcome back, and I just want to thank the heroes of this show, the producers of this show. That's the people who provide the money for it. You know, that's the role of a producer in a film. The director actually makes the film, but he's got to have financial backing. That's what producers are. And so I want to thank the people who have supported us on Zelle and on Cash App so far this month, and to acknowledge their contributions. A few people that really keep this program going. And right now we're on the 15th of December, and I think they got the gas gauge updated. We are just over 50%, so we're on course for the month. And I want to thank these people for help making that possible, actually. William W., Michael L., these are people on Zelle, Julie W., Kevin M., Susan L., Adam D., Maurice W., Noel R., Lyndon H., Kelly K., Gretchen C., Jason M., Susan L., and Mary Ellen at Free Minds Films, William R., Ramon G., Sean Savka, and let's see, we have on this page, we have William R. again, let's say, and Michael P., and Susan L. again, Rose G., and Ken C. Thank you so much, all of you. And we have, in terms of Cash App, let me just run through that. It's a much shorter list. On Cash App, for this month, we have Daniel F., Noel V., very much thank you for that. And Jeffrey A. and Robert M. Thank you to all of you for making this possible. I do appreciate it. And when we look at the Zelle list here, just want to thank Jason M., who is a regular supporter, but he sent an extra amount this month and wished us Merry Christmas, as did many of you. And so I don't have the time to go over each and every one, and I wish I could thank each and every one of you. I wish there was more that we could do, but just reading your names is really the most that we can do at this moment. But we do appreciate your support. It has been invaluable, and it really is what keeps the program going. I want to talk a little bit about the pandemic, because they're now pushing the panic button yet again, this time on measles, but in the UK, the BBC is pushing very hard on bringing back the COVID issues as well. This is something that was on the New York Times, and it was headline the top of the Drudge Report over the weekend. A measles outbreak brings with it echoes of the pandemic, all the fears, all the quarantines, all the remote learning, and the shutdown of schools. You know what's missing from all this? Any indication that anybody was seriously hurt with any of this stuff. This entire article is shameless propaganda for their big pharma sponsors. Just repeating the talking points of the medical cartel and spitting out all this stuff about a so-called measles epidemic, and yet nobody died. Nobody died. Don't even know that anybody is really seriously injured with this. All this is about the panic surrounding the media reports and the fact that you've got to get your vaccine. Now, see, this is what happens when people don't get vaccines. People get measles or whatever. In South Carolina, parents are struggling to deal with infections that have brought quarantines and remote learning. No, there aren't any, there's no disease except the disease of the mind and paying attention to these medical shamans that are out there. Just like we saw before, the lockdowns were not caused by COVID. The lockdowns were caused by Trump and the governors that he paid to lock you down. The deaths were not caused by COVID. The deaths were caused by the hospitals that were paid by CMS a bonus if they would identify people, and then they give them a $9,000 bonus, put them on a ventilator, you get $13,000. The machines only cost $52,000, but they'll give you a 20% bonus on everything that you give them. Give them an aspirin, you know, charge them $10 plus a 20% bonus on that. I mean, it was just rampant corruption and grifting. And it was all going back to the money. That's how it all rolls out. And so COVID didn't do anything. It was the rules coming from the federal government. It was the money coming from the federal government. And the same thing is true here in South Carolina. Late night emails sent to parents informing them that someone in their child's classroom had been infected with measles. Pediatricians fielding calls from concerned mothers about the vaccination status of their children. An anxious father running into the waiting room of a hospital, a sick baby in his arms, asking for help. It must be measles. The kid's sick. Everything is measles, right? Just like everything was COVID. So it has grown into an outbreak, they say. An outbreak, an epidemic. Is it really an epidemic? Nearly 110 people, okay, are sick, they say. Well, in the Spartanburg, South Carolina school system, I looked it up, there are seven schools that have a student body of 7,500. Well, if you exclude the teachers and administrators, that would be one out of 75, they say, is sick with measles. I don't even know if that's true, but let's go with that number. If that were true, that would be just slightly over 1% of the people. That you want to call that an epidemic? You want to push the panic button over this? And, of course, they mention that it is a conservative stronghold. Why would they say that? Well, because they know that conservatives don't like vaccines. They don't like the COVID shot. They don't like the lockdowns. Yet they love Trump, don't they? Again, it's the make America doublethink again. Now, there's a moment in any kind of outbreak, says a pediatrician that they quoted. There's a moment in any kind of outbreak where the temperature sort of changes and parents' questions and concerns shift from curiosity to fear. They don't make any bones about pushing the fear. I mean, it is pedal to the metal on this despicable report from the New York Times. And, of course, Drudge put it at the very top. And the Daily Skeptic in the UK headline says, COVID porn is back. The tireless hacks of the BBC have emerged from their bunkers once again to terrorize the public by bravely touring hospitals and whipping up hysteria about the latest outbreak of...
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital. and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need. Critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel. All in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Flu. It seems that, quote, literally hundreds, according to the BBC, quote unquote, of patients have been bombarding the government health care in the UK. As one person said, well, he's barely out of the room before the bed is stripped and bleach is sprayed and the next patient is already waiting to come in. I would suggest that they go back and they read the book by Dr. Sam Bailey and her husband, who's also a physician. I forget his name. I remember her name because it's unusual for a woman to be called Sam. But the Baileys wrote a book called The Last Pandemic. And in that book, they talk about the fact that they had, I think it was called the Cold House, but it was in the UK. The UK government for 45 years had a program where if you had a cold or if you wanted to try getting a cold, you could get a paid vacation at this cold house. And they did disgusting things, like they transferred mucus from somebody who was sick with a cold, put it in the mouth and of other people to see if that's how it was transmitted. For 45 years, they tried to figure out how cold was transmitted because they believed that it was contagious, that it was a contagion. And not simply because you got cold and something happens in your body in response to the cold. They were never able to pin it down. They were not able to transfer it for 45 years. And now that has all been swept under the carpet, kept secret, and the BBC is out there now pretending that this contagion stuff is really happening. BBC was given access to the hospital to witness firsthand how it is coping with an early surge of winter bug cases. Now, they just tell you right there that it's happening every year. Happens every winter. People are getting sick. They're not getting a lot of sunlight and vitamin D. I wonder what it could be. It must be some kind of a virus. And we can't find the cure for the common cold because they have no idea what causes it. They keep looking for some kind of a pathogen that is contagious. Flu season has hit a month earlier than normal this year, so push the panic button at the BBC. More severe strain of the virus must be climate change. Oh, no, wait, climate change is supposed to be making it warmer. And yet, it's more cold. There are patients in every cubicle, they said, and when beds are full, we have to move people. Things aren't quite as bad, however, as the story's florid copy suggests. Richard Mitchell has been the chief executive of University Hospitals in Leicester. He's witnessed firsthand how it gets harder to cope with each winter that passes. We're already seeing very high levels of flu. That's one of the many things that I'm concerned about at the moment, he said. But it raises interesting questions of what people who work for the NHS, the National Health System in the UK, think that they're likely to be confronted with in 21st century Britain. The story ends up with the predictable exhortations to get a flu vaccine. We'll stop the presses. The BBC's Nick Triggle, often a voice of relative sanity in COVID years, has questioned how unprecedented this year's flu wave really is. And he pointed out that the NHS data only goes back to 2021. Sounds like that other MacGuffin, the climate MacGuffin. They don't have any history of they don't have much of a history of temperature recordings, right? But we're supposed to believe that something extraordinary is happening here. And they don't have, this is even worse. This is just going back to 2021. But of course they manipulate the temperature readings that they, what few ones they have. So they say, however, we have an unprecedented situation. Well, how would you know if you collected data only back to 2021? If you're feeling nostalgic and suffering from COVID-era withdrawal symptoms, the BBC story can take you back to the good old days. The only thing missing is some reckless modeling from the Imperial College of London. Never forget what they told us about the COVID vaccines. This is from Outkick. The UK vaccine chief predicted virus elimination by August of 2021, but the country hit record 200,000 daily cases instead. So, were these from the vaccine? Was it not a bug? And in this article, and we've shown this over and over again, the number of cases skyrocket. The number of people sick and dying skyrocket after the introduction of the vaccine, not before, which is exactly the opposite of what you would expect if it were safe and effective, but it's neither. So as we rapidly approach 2026, it's now easy to forget what was once claimed about COVID vaccines in 2020 and 2021, and how utterly absurd and in some cases dangerous that looks now. As a matter of fact, you had people like Alex Jones pushing it, not because it's going to save us, not because it's going to end the virus, but because it'll save Trump. You can do it for Trump, right? It's just sugar water with a little bit of aluminum and mercury in it. So inject aluminum and mercury and sugar water into your veins to help Trump. You can do it for him, right? It's not the bad Gates vaccine. The conversation around these COVID vaccines has shifted dramatically, led in part by a new memo sent out by Dr. Prasad at the FDA. The memo states that researchers within the agency had found a link between COVID vaccines and the deaths of at least 10 children. So why aren't they stopping it? I talked about this last week. We have had states outlaw vaccines in the past when they only had 9 acknowledged deaths from it, but that was enough. We shut down and recall cribs if one child is not even killed but injured by it, because that could be fatal or could have more injuries. Why is it that vaccines are exceptional? As a matter of fact, it's an argument that these people have. Well, you know, of course, they have to be safe or the government wouldn't approve them. Nothing could be further from the truth when it's the only industry that has been specifically given legal immunity and protection because, as the government said in 1986, vaccines are inherently unsafe. That's their quote, not mine. And so that's the reality. That should be the wake-up call right there. That was what it was for me. It took me a very long time before I understood or knew anything about the 1986 Act. Once I did, it's like, okay, well, I get this now. I'm not taking anything that is so dangerous that you have to have an act of Congress to protect these people that's being pushed on kids, of all things. Think about that. You know, we talk about the atrocities that murder children and civilians, and yet that's the business model for big pharma and big medicine. Isn't that amazing? The director of the National Institutes of Health now has called it shocking, an exclusive new interview, and yet they won't stop it. Isn't that interesting?
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
So the to me, that is the amazing thing there. So this article from the UK talking about how, well, no, they didn't end COVID. It actually skyrocketed by the end of 2021. How many people were coerced into getting COVID vaccines based on the claim that it would eradicate COVID from the country? How many parents got their kids vaccinated based on the complete fabrication? A decision which could have posed an unnecessary danger and risk of harm. No, it wasn't a possibility. It actually did harm people, a lot of people. And we knew it at the time. You could see it in the VAERS database, which was ignored by everybody or explained away. And then they found it again in the Defense Department's database, where they monitor things very, very closely. And the Defense Department lied about all of that as well. So when you look at what happened with the them taking the hepatitis B shot for newborns off, that really set the vaccine industry on fire. I played for you last week the clip from Scott Gottlieb, Trump's FDA commissioner, who now works at Pfizer, of course, right? He had two of them. One went to Pfizer, one went to Moderna after what they did to us. And so he was talking about, well, these people did this without any data. Well, you did it without any data. You made it mandatory in some states, and you made it, you know, you gave the recommendation, and then some states made it mandatory. But they did all that without any data, and they did it in spite of it making absolutely no sense. As they point out in this article, it's very easy to do a blood test to see if you've got hepatitis B. In the U.S., you're really, really unlikely to become infected unless you start shooting up drugs or having a lot of sex. Now, this is another one of these things like AIDS. And so if nobody in your family, it's very easy to test the mother, the father, anything like that. If nobody in your family has hepatitis B, even if you believe that vaccines are going to protect somebody, even if you believe it's a virus, it makes no logical sense to give that to a baby. That's the reality. Not many U.S. citizens do any of these things in the first 2 months of their life. shooting up drugs, having lots of homosexual sex. Pregnant women are also routinely tested for hepatitis B. Fathers can be. So we know when a baby is born whether there has been any risk from family members. So why did the U.S. give hepatitis B vaccines on day one of life when most countries, similar countries, don't do it? Hey, Scott Gottlieb, here's your answer. You know, they stopped this without having any data. Well, it makes no sense to do it. It is not logic. It's not evidence-based medicine. It's not some grown-up rational public health policy. The most likely reason, as most people can readily deduce, is money. And that's why they have Scott Gottlieb on the stations, because the pharmaceutical companies that are folks, they're literal murderers. So you're going to get mad at a military-industrial complex, take a look at the pharmaceutical companies. They are pushing this. You know, you go back and look at cigarettes, right? Let's say that cigarettes, with all the additives that they put in them and everything, were giving people cancer. I don't think it was strictly tobacco. I think it was a lot of the stuff that they were doing, the manufacturing process, and then special filters that we'd see advertised all the time. And so they accuse them of knowingly harming people, increasing their risk of cancer and heart disease and things like that. But it was still a voluntary thing. You didn't have to smoke, except in your public spaces. You know, you're breathing it in. But you don't have to smoke. But what the pharmaceutical companies have done is go one step further. They've taken something that they know is incredibly dangerous, harmful, and no reason to do it. And they've gotten the government to force it on children, of all things. What disgusting people they are. If you start a measles mortality graph from the year that mass vaccination started, there's a strong positive association with reduced measles deaths. And this is now very commonly done in medical journals and medical schools. But the same association can be seen between measles deaths and the consumption of cornflakes. So again, have the sales of cornflakes changed in South Carolina? Is that why they're getting measles there? Nobody's eating the cornflakes. They're not getting the additional vitamins. In other words, that's the point this person is making. It's really due to nutrition. In both cases, the measles deaths started dropping rapidly long before and kept the same trajectory due to better nutrition. And, you know, you may say, well, I don't know, breakfast cereal is nutritious. Many people have said it's better to eat the cardboard than the cereal inside. But they have put things like vitamin D in it and some other things. And so that's a possibility. But again, cause and effect has not been proven here. And same thing that they did with the gun regulations. They claim, well, shootings went down, but you know, they were on their way down before any of this stuff happens. And he points out measles vaccination is still great at stopping infection and transmission. Therefore, some residual measles deaths, so are vitamin supplements in breakfast cereals. Well, I would say that cornflakes are far less dangerous and far more effective than vaccines. That's the truth, folks, especially the MMR stuff. Vaccines just came late in the game. In poor countries with malnourished kids, measles vaccines may have more impact. They don't. But this is a good example of the fallacy that vaccines transformed life expectancy in the U.S., and postponing them will kill a lot of kids. It won't. And we see this same narrative done yet again with polio and many other things. The five big lies of vaccinology from Dr. MD, Clayton Baker, writes it at Brownstone, and he said, when you look at the five different ones, you got all this fight back and forth between the vaccine advisory panels that's there. He said they have just debunked a New England Journal of Medicine article. It's been thoroughly deconstructed. It exposes the brazen, systematic dishonesty of both vaccine development and the clinical trial process as a whole. In other words, these companies are allowed pretty much to do their own testing, give the results to the FDA, which says, okay, you're free to do anything, and just rubber stamp it. They don't question it. People have deconstructed this most recent one here. And so he goes, here's the five big lies and two honorable mentions. He says the vaccine industry. Number one, equating antibody production with immunity to a disease. Number two, using, and by the way, that was key with HIV and AIDS, right? Saying that it was a virus and saying, well, we see some antibodies here. Well, we really don't know what is going on with the person, but.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
We've never been able to isolate it, but we'll call it a virus, and then we'll look for a vaccine, and that didn't work. There was something else that was going on, and that's why it was confined to the promiscuous homosexual community that was there. Just like I think with the cold, it has to do with the cold. People seem to understand that before the vaccine companies got in the way. But anyway, equating antibody production with immunity to disease is one of the big lies, one of the five big lies of the vaccine industry. Number two, using fake placebos. And we saw this with the COVID shot, for example. Guess what the placebo was? A meningitis vaccine that had all the adjuvants and things like that in it. So, of course, it's going to wash out a lot of the problems with the COVID vaccine. Although it was unique in many different ways and added to other things in spite of all that. Insisting, lie number three, insisting my immunity is dependent on your vaccination. That's right. Wear your seatbelt or I might die. Wear your motorcycle helmet or I might die. Wear your mask or I might die because my mask doesn't work. Your mask doesn't work. My vaccine doesn't work. Your vaccine doesn't work. But we've all got to get it. Herd immunity, you know. It's actually the herd mentality. Lie number four, declaring multiple simultaneous injections to be safe. They were never tested. How is it that when it comes to vaccines, we're not curious at all about the interaction of different drugs? I mean, that's a big part of pharmacology, is how do different drugs interact with each other? Sometimes they'll even tell you that, although they don't usually care to warn you about things. Number five, declaring vaccines fundamentally safe and effective as a class. Yeah, we know they're all safe and effective. And here's his honorable mentions. Honorable mention number one, declaring that mRNA gene therapies are vaccines. And honorable mention number two, allowing criminal corporations to conduct their own clinical studies. That is the big part of it. Well, the FDA may put a black box warning on COVID vaccines. I got to say this about the black box warning stuff. That is yet another fraud conducted on the public. The purpose of a black box warning is to inoculate from prosecution, give plausible deniability to the vaccine company and to the FDA. It leaves the opportunity for you to sue the doctor or the pharmacist who doesn't tell you, but good luck proving that they didn't tell you that there was a black box warning on it. So it is about giving them immunity from implausible deniability when they're approving something that they know is harmful. If it gets a black box label, that's because there's been a lot of people that have been harmed by this thing. And so they put a black box label on and say, well, we've done our job. Except you don't see that, and you're not told that in so many different cases. So it's just a big fraud by the fraudulent drug authority, the FDA. And I got to say, you know, when you look at these antibiotics and other things like that, I know when Lance was hurt by the floxin, it rhymes with toxin, remember that? And they call them floxins in general because most of these made-up names that they come up with end in kind of a floxin thing, but it's a fluoroquinolone, I think, is what it's called. Antibiotics, people don't understand. Antibiotics are really dangerous, like the painkillers, but in a different way. An antibiotic is set there to kill living things, right? And one of the things that it may kill is parts of your body. And so you always have to be very careful about that. And, of course, those antibiotics, those floxins, have a black box label on it, but nobody told them. Not the physician and not the pharmacist. And so, again, it's not only a fraud that is put on there just to protect the FDA not doing their job and the pharmaceutical companies knowingly selling something that is harmful and dangerous, But you can't even get at the physicians or the pharmacists about that. Well, I've seen a lot of press here and a lot of excitement saying that Liam Neeson is now on our side. This is an article from Steve Watson and at Modernity News. Liam Neeson is a MAHA ally, he says in a question mark. He narrates an RFK Jr. documentary slamming lockdowns and COVID jams. So therefore, he's on our side, right? He has a little bit of skepticism here, but then he quickly walks it back. And I just got to say, Watson, why don't you ever mention Trump in any of this? If Liam Neeson narrating a documentary showing how harmful this stuff is, why do you give a pass to Trump, who says he's the father of the vaccine? And yeah, my people don't like it, but hey, it's great stuff, and look at all the millions of people I save. In an unexpected pivot, he said, that is sending shockwaves to the pharma lobby, Liam Neeson has narrated a documentary titled Plague of Corruption, 80 Years of Pharmaceutical Corruption Exposed. It is an adaptation of Dr. Judy Mikovits' book, and it's backed by RFK Jr.'s Children's Health Defense. It appears this isn't just another celebrity voiceover, says Watson. But Watson, it is. Come on. Elementary, my dear Watson. It is a celebrity voiceover. That's all it is. He says it is a direct assault on the COVID-era overreach that crushed freedoms and livelihoods under the guise of public health. Please, Watson, who did that? You want to say who did that? That's your hero, Trump. It's the dog that didn't bark. Right? Neeson, long hailed for his UNICEF ambassadorship pushing global jabs, now aligns with MAHA movement. Is any of that true? Again, who paid and bribed hospitals to kill people with ventilators? Who funded the vaccine? Who was the father of the jab? I mean, if it's such a bad thing, Watson, why can't you even mention Trump's name in this? When Liam Neeson narrates the truth they tried to hide. Plague.
What you
got to
understand is that an actor would never say something they don't believe.
Yeah, they're like news announcers, who presenters they call them, right? Who just read a script, and that's what they do as well. So here's the trailer for it.
Behind every great fortune, there's a crime.
Certainly is behind every great pharmaceutical company.
Pfizer has raised its full-year sales estimate for the COVID-19 vaccine to $45 billion. You want me
scared, you want me weak. It was a linear correlation between the amount of fimer aerosol the child had and the probability of autism. But they weren't going to tell anyone about it, and there were, you know, secret meetings thereafter, how to hide the data. You want me
brain-dead and asleep. No matter how grievous your injury is, no matter how negligent the company, no matter how sloppy their line protocols, you cannot sue them for injuring you.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure. But I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
That's the smoking gun, isn't it?
Patches under her skin started appearing at the top of her head and then just started spreading. You want us
sick? I believe we're designed to eat animals. I don't believe we're designed to have them injected into our bloodstream.
Why do they do it in animals? They do it because they have to develop the disease in animals to test their drugs to treat the disease that are caused by the adjuvant in the vaccine, which is the definition of crazy.
The scientific community prostituted itself on the altar of American capitalism, which is completely irresponsible morally.
It's the race to the ethical bottom.
You want our time, you want us framed up in your crime. I hope you know that it's time to go, and we're taking name.
Tony Fauci is one of the most powerful people in the world. Oh, he should be in prison for what he did to those babies.
Senior officials from the Biden administration pressured our teams for months to censor certain COVID-19 content.
This vaccine mandate was more detrimental to medical readiness than the 20-year war in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Three heart attacks and a stroke.
Liars, cheats, and crooks, change the rules, and you burn the books. And so I don't believe a single word you say. You're all liars, fakes, and cons.
A plague of corruption.
We want you.
And I got to take issue with them, but they say that it's corruption, right? That's not capitalism. Why have that guy saying this is rampant capitalism here? It's not capitalism. It's nothing but thievery. It's fascism. It's a corrupt government allied with corrupt corporations. It is a plague of corruption. That's good. Stick with the title. It's not capitalism. Capitalism is a Karl Marx term, and it's garbage. Anyway. Features interviews praising Kennedy as a truth teller against Big Pharma's stranglehold. Neeson's narration says thousands of lives were lost, not to the virus, but to the mental anguish brought on by these harsh restrictions. He says we cannot change the past, but we can demand transparency and accountability for the future. This is not the end of our story. This is the beginning of new chapter. Well, there we go. Now, Watson is portraying Liam Neeson as somebody who's now fighting the good fight. And so is he really going to be our guy to threaten pharmaceutical companies? Well, you know, we would all like to believe that. He is pretty good at threatening people. As a matter of fact, he had a late-night appearance where a studio audience member said, can you threaten me? Which is all a setup. Again, he's reading a script. Here's how that played out.
Did you threaten me?
What's your name?
Matthew.
Matthew. Okay. Do you mind me?
Albert Bourla.
The lights, Don, guys are off.
My name is Albert Bourla. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, spotlight. I like that. Okay. I want you to listen very carefully, Matthew. Before this night's over, I will kill you. But before I kill you, I will make you suffer pain so unimaginable, you will wiggle and beg and pray for the gift of death. Eventually, I will give you that gift. But when you wake up in hell, you won't find peace. You know why, Matthew? Because I'll be there waiting for you again, Matthew.
And they show the guy, his pants are all wet. So, yeah, this whole thing was a setup, and that's the way it is. We want to believe, as we see with all of these films, they go through this little charade, you know, it's like a Greek tragedy or whatever. It's all scripted, right? Great injustices were done, and they're righted by one person. And so that's going to be Liam Neeson. It's not going to be Donald Trump anymore because Donald Trump is on the side of the murderers. Better understand it's a conspiracy. So Neeson's reps fired back in a statement insisting, quote, "We all recognize that corruption can exist within the pharmaceutical industry, but that should never be conflated with opposition to vaccines. Liam never has been and is not anti-vaccine." He did not shape the film's editorial content. And so they continued on and then said, on the other hand, his extensive work with UNICEF underscores his long-held support for global immunization and public health initiatives. He did not shape the film's editorial content. Any questions about its claims or messaging should be directed to the producers. In other words, he's just a hired gun with all this stuff. And yet, Steve Watson persists. He says, it's a very odd move for Neeson, who previously helped heap praise on vaccines, including COVID jabs, in a 2022 UNICEF spot where he called them a remarkable human success story. Yeah, you might want to just figure out that he is going to say whatever anybody pays him to say. It is a little bit different. You know, a lot of times when you have actors or actresses or whatever who get into something, it's like Ed Asner, who was very convinced that 9/11 was a fraud. And he took a lot of heat because he got involved with architects and engineers to try to explain that to people. You had Elizabeth Montgomery, who narrated a documentary called Panama Deception. It was about the George H.W. Bush attack on Panama. That was a very good documentary. Again, if they understand that this is extremely political, usually the actors, like Elizabeth Montgomery or Ed Asner, are on board with the topic. But that's not the case here. Why pretend otherwise? And why give Trump a pass on all of this stuff? It absolutely makes no sense at all to me. But it's one of the things that I've seen here of the MAGA people that shows, again, that it's a religion. I've seen this happen over and over again in the Christian press. They have some football player or some celebrity endorse Jesus, right? Oh, yeah, that, you know, made a big difference in my... Okay, now you see story after story after story about what that person said, as if this athlete or this celebrity somehow has the capacity to make this legitimate, you know, because, well, now because so-and-so says they believe in Jesus, now I believe in Jesus. And so this is the same type of thing that's happening here. People are looking for validation from celebrities for what they believe. And that's exactly what's going on with a lot of the alternative press with this Liam Neeson thing. They're just looking for celebrity validation of what they believe. But the celebrities are just actors. They'll say whatever they're paid to do. Trump is an actor. He will do whatever he is paid to do. That's the reality of all this stuff. These actors emote feelings. That's what they do. They don't, you know, they read the script. They don't read in terms of doing research. So, in today's climate, with RFK Jr. draining the swamp at HHS, Neeson's involvement signals a shift. Unfortunately, no. You're trying to spin this, and you're selling a false hope to the MAGA people. Watson wants to cheer this MAHA stuff. And again, like I said, Christians do the same thing with celebrity endorsements.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward. But that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
Jesus. It just goes to show that the MAGA stuff is in fact a religion. The film's trailer features JFK, RFK Jr. up front and center, promising accountability. Go ahead and put on your tinfoil hat and think that Trump is going to come after Fauci. I saw so much of that when Trump said, okay, that's it. I'm declaring all the stuff that was done by Joe Biden with an auto pen. I'm declaring that all null and void. And the reality is that it's going to be very difficult for him to undo pardons. But Fauci may have been pardoned by Biden, but remember, he was given a commendation, an award, on the very last day of Trump's day in office. And then on his very first day of his second term, Trump came in pushing mRNA plus artificial intelligence. And that's what I think Trump is going to be remembered for. I think he's going to be the father of mRNA and the father of AI, because he's pushing very, very hard on artificial intelligence. I do not support any of this that he's doing. So, again, article after article denying that he has anything to do with this. And as you look at the mainstream media news, this is Entertainment Weekly, saying clips of plague of corruption posted to social media promotes the disproven notion that autism is linked to vaccines. That's not disproven. Or the baseless idea that the polio vaccine caused the COVID-19 pandemic. Do they actually say that? I've not heard anybody suggest that. That may be a mischaracterization from Entertainment Weekly. If it's not, that's actually in there. They're doing a lot of damage. You know, we have to be careful what we say, because if we put out stuff like saying, like Stu Peters did, that it was snake venom in the water that caused the COVID vaccine. No, the COVID lockdowns and the COVID pandemic were caused by lying authoritarian governments acting as the handmaids of this globalist agenda, trying to push this to establish the precedence of lockdown. And it was something that they practiced since 2 months before 9/11. Don't ever lose sight of that. And when you start putting stuff out there like it was snake venom in the water, or if they actually do say that it was the polio vaccine caused the COVID-19 pandemic, that's a very dangerous thing. Because that's the kind of stuff that controlled opposition does to discredit us, right? They go over the top. Nobody died, for example. The insistence that some vaccines are not safe and effective. Think about that. That's Entertainment Weekly saying, well, this thing says that insists that some vaccines are not safe and effective. The burden of proof is on you. Just like with the hepatitis B vaccine, the burden of proof is on Scott Gottlieb and these other people. Of course, all vaccines are not 100% safe and effective. Why do you think they had to give them legal immunity in 1986? And why did the government itself say that they were inherently unsafe? That's the reality. That's the reality they don't want you to hear. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We'll get these comments, I think, when we come back, Travis. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
VC. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
I wish I had the Christmas Night album.
Hot dog!
You can get the Christmas Night album at thedavidknightshow.com for just $13.99. It's right in the second floor there, see?
What'd you wish, George?
Well, not just one wish, a whole hatful. First, I'm going to thedavidknightshow.com and purchase the Christmas Night album. Then I'm going to listen to Christmas classics, like... Are you going to throw a rock?
I want the Christmas Night album, too.
Hey, that's pretty good.
Buffalo gals, can't you come out tonight?
Can't you come out tonight? Can't you come out tonight?
David's Christmas Night album includes 21 instrumental Christmas melodies like God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, Silent Night, and is all new I'll Be Home for Christmas. What do you want? You want the moon? Just say the word and I'll throw a lasso around it, pull it down.
I'll take it. Then what?
And then I'll buy you your own download of David Knight's Christmas Night album.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
If you like the Eagles,
on a dark desert highway,
the Cars, and Huey Lewis in the News,
they say the hotter rock and roll is competing.
You'll love the Classic Hits channel at APS Radio. Download our app or listen now at APSradio.com.
Welcome back, and I'll be a little bit mercenary since we don't have much time in terms of shipping things. We have the David Knight Show book and bookmark, and... we have this on the website if you want to get close-ups of it. But the bookmark is actually, if you remember that commemorative medallion that we had a limited quantity of, that was sold out very quickly. This bookmark is the same design. It's very nice, very heavy. And it can actually be used with real books. There's a real advantage of that. Lance put together a commercial of all these tech guys selling you all these little gadgets and gizmos that aren't going to make your life really any better. And again, the privacy, and I just like books because they're tactile. They are you can touch them. This feels very nice. This is has like a leather feel to it. It's not leather, but it feels like it. But it's a nice way to do journaling in your life, and it's always a good thing to do. It's difficult sometimes for us to do it with all the pressure that we got. But it's good to sit down and write things into a journal. I don't do it enough, but I always am amazed when I go back and read the little bit that I do, how what a wonderful thing that is to give you a perspective on your own life. And we study other people's lives significantly. And speaking of that, I just want to thank Ryan, who gifted that bookmark and the coin to us. He has an update on his dad that... he asked people to pray for him last week, and came through the operation well, but he said they gave him pain medications that were very severe side effects, just a warning to a lot of people. He said lack of sleep and being pumped up with oxycodone for 2 days didn't help either. He was hallucinating, had some very bad, scary hallucinations, he said. He is no longer delusional. He started coming off of the hallucinations as soon as he got off the drugs. He says the pain medications are something else. That's right. You know, we really do underestimate the pain killers and their effects on us, as well as the antibiotics. You know, the fluoxins and everything even had hallucination as one of the issues with it. And it did some things to Lance's mind that were a little bit foggy. He didn't hallucinate things. But, you know, I was surprised to see that. Really? You know, we have, I guess it was because those antibiotics had something to do with fluoride, and fluoride does affect your mind. But he got over it, fortunately, and fortunately Ryan's dad has. He's still in the hospital recovering, so you might want to keep him in mind. The thing is, again, talking about those black box warnings, they just don't tell us. And that whole class of antibiotics, the floxins, fluoroquinolone, all these different names that usually end in floxacin, but there's also some brand names that they have for it. So you may not even see that in the name, because they'll give it the name that ends in floxacin, which is kind of their pharmaceutical name for it. But then they have a brand name that they show to the public to help to hide what it is. But it's Cipro, Levofloxacin, and others of that ilk. Be very careful with that stuff. He also writes, he says, I know, because we played that clip of RoboCop last week, you know, they've actually put up a statue in Detroit to honor RoboCop, because it took place in Detroit. What a crazy thing that is, to put up a statue of that. I didn't see that as a positive thing at all. But he said, Peter Weller, who starred in RoboCop, has an account on Instagram. He said that he saw, he said, I have a video where he talks about how it took several cuts, more than 8 different times they had to go back to the MPAA before they give it an R rating instead of an X. That's why I cut that short. The director that did that was heavily into violence porn, and I think other kinds of porn as well. That was, we started shooting that guy that just, they just kept shooting him, and, you know, you see the squibs blowing up all over his body and everything. He says, I was 3 years old when that movie came out. I can't remember, I remember having the toys, but I can't remember the first time I watched it. And, again, I read that and I thought, yeah, they probably did the original X-rated version of it for video, I would imagine. And he actually gave me a link to an X-rated version on here, which I haven't watched. But, you know, just in case you haven't been desensitized enough to the violence and the rest of the stuff that's out there. You know, we saw the same type of thing happen with Kubrick's Clockwork Orange. I remember when that first came out, it got an X rating, and it had to be edited to get it down to an R rating. But you go back and you look at that, and it is very mild compared to the R ratings that were further down the road. It's been a constant process of moving us down this road and getting us accustomed to all this stuff. Talking about ADHD drugs and other things in Pfizer, there is now a $42 million settlement, as they admitted that they have been harming kids. Nationwide lawsuits alleging the contraceptive Depo-Provera caused intracranial melanomas, claiming the company failed to adequately warn patients. That's right. And so it's across the board. ADHD medication for kids for years. Children test results meant to detect the problems were allegedly altered to keep Medicaid reimbursements flowing. Pfizer and another pharmaceutical company have reached a $42 million settlement with the state of Texas, raising immediate public health questions about how a compromised drug reached pediatric patients without triggering FDA or Medicaid safeguards. And, of course, these pediatricians are just rubber stamping and pushing these drugs onto you, whatever they're told by the big pharmaceutical companies. That's what they will do. As a matter of fact, I also got this email. I wanted to show you this documentary about something that's happening in Canada. This is another documentary, and this is the name of this documentary is Making a Killing. And you can get the full documentary online on YouTube if you look it up, Making a Killing. But this type of thing is has already come to America in some communities, and it is the type of thing that could be widespread in America.
Thanks for coming out, everyone. Unfortunately, I have some bad news, which is that the venue here has now said that we need to leave.
I didn't run for office expecting everyone to applaud.
Not one, not two, but three hotels in total said, you can't have this group talking about that in Kamloops.
But I also didn't expect this. Being swarmed by Canadians indicting themselves for charges of mass murder. Or having to take on an industry ready to exploit their guilt.
It matters, right? Because we want the truth to be.
We want the truth to be.
But that's where I found myself. Confronting stories that could not be questioned. Narratives manufactured to siphon wealth and power from open-hearted citizens.
British Columbia is sitting at a pivotal crossroads. We have a beautiful land with extraordinary resources, abundance beyond the wildest imaginations. The rot in our province is deep. It is evident in our streets, our economy, and our culture. We can be the greatest place to live, or we can descend into ruin.
So what is this narrative? Is it true? And if it's not, what will it cost us to live by a lie?
Again, this narrative is the idea that a lot of Native kids were murdered, and you know, they said they found bodies in these backyards of these churches or whatever. But again, that has just been debunked. But it continues to go on, and it's going back to saying, "Well, now we're going to take your property and give it to these other people here." It's absolute chaos, and that's what the purpose of all that is. And it may happen here in America as well. I also got this from Ryan at For the Love of the Road. He said, "Send me a clip." Of or send me a thing of a guy who put up a clip in question on let's see, it's on he does the puts up the show on Telegram, which we don't put anything up there, and I think it was on Telegram this guy connected with him, and it was a guy who called in on Sunday Night Live when Harrison was hosting. Back in July or August of 2023, asking why Alex doesn't confront you on things that you say about January the 6th and stuff. And the guy says, and I disagree with, I watch David, but I disagree with him on January the 6th. And it's like, how in the world, in retrospect, because, I mean, we're talking about 2023, how in the world, in retrospect, could you, A, support Trump after what he had done throughout 2020? And how could you not see that January the 6th was a trap, as I said it was going to be? How could you think that anything was going to be done on January the 6th other than to entrap people? The whole thing was a setup. And so that's fine. You can disagree with me if you want. I just don't, quite frankly, I just don't understand how somebody could still be cheering that. And I don't understand even as I talked to some of the people who had suffered because Trump didn't pardon them. He left them to twist in the wind for 4 years. Many of them in prison or in fights with the law for 4 years, and yet they don't want to hold Trump responsible for any of this stuff or any of the other people who got them into this situation. I just don't understand that.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Well, one of the things he said was, I kindly request that he discuss Freemasonry and the government on his program, and whether or not it should be accepted in 2025 for transparency between elected officials and citizens. Well, if you don't like Freemasonry, I don't like it. Maybe you should ask that question to InfoWars, because they actually put a host in, a guy by the name of Chase. I don't know anything else about him except somebody sent me a clip where he is cheering Freemasonry, telling everybody that he's a Mason and it's a great thing. That's where InfoWars is now. So again, I just don't understand that, and I don't understand people doing. Yes, you should know if that. I think that is relevant. Unfortunately, we see that repeatedly. We don't know who these people are because they're lying about it if they even say anything. Here in Tennessee, when Outside Money put up a candidate to run against Frank Nicely, who was trying to stop Outside Money from getting into Tennessee. They put up a guy who had zero biography. He had zero issues on his website. Everything there were lies and slanders about Frank Nicely, who had done a great job. Frank Nicely had been a free market advocate. He had pushed through a bill very early on to allow people to buy ivermectin over the counter and other things like that. He was always on the side of freedom and choice, and he was a very nice guy. And they tried to link him to Biden. It was ridiculous. The only link that they could come up with was their Photoshop images that they put out there. But the guy had a tremendous amount of money, and he actually was able to defeat him. Again, what do we know about these people? Do we know if he's a Freemason? I have no idea if that's a guy is a Freemason or not. I don't have any idea what he ever did for a living before he became a shill for the establishment. And so, again, there's no information about him personally, no information about his business or his accomplishments or his educational background, no information about what he would like to do. It was all just negative hit ads against a guy who had done a great job of serving his constituency. And then there was a question about why the Amish had to go to court. And again, this is a case that went through up to the circuit courts and then finally up to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court didn't just shut it down, but they did remand it back to the Second Circuit Court. And it was a great injustice that was done. A lot of people are saying that it was a victory, but the question is, how did that happen in the first place? Don't the Amish homeschool their kids? Well, I think this is the most, and I gotta add this here. Don't hit the clock just yet, Travis, because I want to finish with this. This is the most important aspect of the story, and I didn't stress it. And that is, why did the Amish wind up in this legal issue in the first place? Well, it underscores the danger of private schools as well as public schools. And it underscores why the Republicans are working so hard to put in charter schools. Because they can exercise that control, still give people the feeling that they have a choice about this. If you take the money, they control it. But if you go to a school, even if it's a private school, even if it doesn't take government money, I don't think the Amish were taking government money. If you set up a school, they will come after your kids. And that's what happened with this. They said the Amish could have done a homeschool thing, but they decided instead that they were going to set up a school. New York's public health law requires vaccination for children attending schools, whether they are public or private. The Amish plaintiffs argued that this violated their First Amendment free exercise rights and also parental rights to direct their children's religious upbringing, citing sincere religious objections to vaccines, such as placing trust in God over medical interventions. The Second Circuit initially upheld the law, but then because they said it was neutral and generally applicable, with no evidence of anti-religious animus. Let me just say, this is absolute nonsense to say that if they don't target your religion with a law, then you can't have any religious objections to it. That is utter nonsense. It's a direct violation of the First Amendment and their free exercise of religion, period. And it doesn't matter whether they did something to come after the Amish or if the law conflicts with their, the issue is that the law conflicts with their sincerely held religious beliefs and their free exercise of that. That's the issue. And so if you're going to deny informed consent to everybody, that's not an excuse. Just like it's not an excuse to say, well, yeah, Trump did this illegal thing, but hey, the Democrats did it as well. So what about that? That's not an excuse. And so, again, I didn't stress the most important aspect of the story. During enforcement hearings, a representative of the Amish schools argued that they should be treated as homeschools under the state law to avoid the mandate, but that argument was rejected. Homeschooling in New York is a distinct option with its own regulations, and its own vaccination requirements do not apply to purely homeschool children. The Amish schools emphasized community-based education and group settings as part of their faith and way of life, rejecting individual homeschooling as an alternative. In short, the requirements applied precisely because the courts and the state treated these as formal private schools, not as homeschools or as homeschool co-ops. So keep that in mind. Whenever you take the government's money, there will be strings that will be attached at some point or the other. And the other aspect of it is that the courts are seeing a distinction between schools and homeschools. They're very different things, so don't fall for that. That's the most important takeaway from this. They could have done it as a homeschool, or they could have even have called it a homeschool cooperative, but they chose to do it as a private school, which is the way that New York is going to bring them in under their control. Well, I think we can go out now at this point. I just wanted to cover that, Travis, before we did it. And I want to thank DGA. Thank you for the tip. He says, David here in Ohio, next year's governor election between two COVID tyrants who are running. DeWine has praised the Democrat candidate, Acton, and her top assistant, Vivek Ramaswamy, is running as the Republican Party. Yeah, exactly. And DeWine was one of the worst examples. And he's Exhibit A when people would come back and say, it wasn't Trump, it was the bad Democrat governors. It's like, really? I can name several really bad Republican governors, and DeWine is at the top of the list. He's the one who came up with the idea, if you get a vaccine, we'll put you in a lottery to win $1 million. How reprehensible that is. He said, David, the Trump cult and Trump media have zero discernment when it comes to calling him out. They'll cite his BS rhetoric as a victory. Words are cheap. Yeah, if you look at Ramaswamy, this is a guy who, along with J.D. Vance, both of them are involved in pharmaceutical stuff, pushing self-amplifying mRNA. And you can add to that the disgusting interview between Ramaswamy and Elon Musk, where the two of them were talking about how necessary it was to bring in people from outside of America because our country just doesn't have the talent here. I don't know how we ever wound up with such a great country that everybody's dying to get in here when we're such failures here. That's the idea of Ramaswamy and Mass. So I want to thank today. I don't know if you noticed or not, but this is a tie that we got as a gift last year. And I just want to thank the person who gave it to us. And we had a background here that was, Kara spent a lot of time trying to find a background that matched the tie here. So I just want to thank them for it and apologize for not having it on last year. We got it late, and it took us a while to do that. And I just want to remind people, again, we'll play the commercial. We have close to the end of the year, close to Christmas time, but we can still get these out, the diary here as well as the bookmarker. And the bookmarker is compatible with any book. It's not just limited to the diary. So thank you for joining us. Have a good day.
take a photo on a phone, there is machine learning in the background.
Highest quality video capture ever in a smartphone.
In the metaverse, we're going to need AI that is built around helping people navigate virtual worlds as well as our physical world with augmented reality.
Augmented reality is a profound technology.
That includes like your position in 3D space, your body language, facial gestures.
We invented new intimate ways to connect and communicate directly from your wrist.
Everything from virtual reality to designing our own data centers.
Describing what's coming even, it's just so different and new. I've been in this infrastructure business for, you know, 3 decades.
No one has ever seen infrastructure.
Yeah, yeah. And
now, I expect that these trends will only increase in the future.
In the last few months, we launched voice and vision capabilities so that ChatGPT can now see, hear, and speak. Supports up to 128,000 tokens of context. That's 300 pages of a standard book.
That's all AI generated. Actually, let's add some Alto Cumulus clouds. All right.
Break free of the technocratic nightmare this Christmas and go back to basics with a David Knight Show bookmark and notebook. This high-quality embossed metal bookmark with a full-color design on the back is guaranteed to be cross-compatible with all physical books. And the beautiful faux leather notebook is 100% hacking proof. An ideal gift for fans of the David Knight Show or anyone looking to start a journaling or prayer journal habit. No bells, no whistles, just pen and paper. Available at davidknight.news. Merry Christmas.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Career changers, including veterans and active duty service members. Your transition starts here. Go from GI to IT in a matter of months. Become a certified cyber warrior with training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, offering IT pros great opportunities and a rewarding lifestyle while protecting our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. Deploy your career in IT today at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP, an elite CompTIA certification partner.
VA education benefits are available to those who qualify.